Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Gentlemen, you are the top 1%.
The elite. Best of the best. We'll make it better.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I'd like to take this opportunity to introduce you to our commanding officer at Top Gun. The very first man to win the Top Gun trophy. You will not find a finer fighter pilot anywhere in the world.
Paul Perillo.
I will fire when I am good and ready. You got that?
And Andy. And Andy?
Son, your ego is writing checks your body can't cash.
Andy Hart.
You're everyone's problem. That's because every time you go up in the air, you're unsafe. I don't like you because you're dangerous.
That's right. I am dangerous.
Eric Scalavino.
I want somebody's butt. I want it now. I got it.
For now, anyway.
Hex twice. I want some fun!
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Gentlemen, this is the real thing. This is what you've been trained for. You are America's best. Make us proud.
Hello, everyone. All right, we're back here on American soil. The guys from PFW. And another edition of PFW in Progress after a successful, I would say, jaunt over to London. Most of all because the Patriots won 35-7 over the Buccaneers. But all other aspects of the trip were a success, I would have to believe, from the people in England who were so accommodating and friendly. And all the other people from around the country who merged into Wembley for the game. It was just unbelievable. It was a great trip. We have a lot to talk about, and it's good to talk about it this week because we've got the bye coming up. There's really no game to look forward to, so what better than to reminisce?
My only regret, Fred,
on the week. Yes, Eric's here.
Was that it wasn't longer?
You wanted to be.
That's what she said.
You wanted to be there longer.
Yeah, it was fun.
I think I wouldn't have minded being there longer
if you didn't have to stay in the sports cafe.
I could just now do what I wanted to do, but
right.
But I hear what you're saying. Yeah, we didn't really have a lot of time to, you know, explore London and really see the sights in depth. Someday maybe I'll get a chance to do that. But it was a good trip. Eric's here, Paul, Andy, Doc's in the booth. And so things are good. But we do have a lot to review.
Yes.
From the game itself to everything that we did in London to the UK Patriots fan club that did such a great job getting – things organized for the big party we had Saturday night. Just an awesome time. Awesome time. The hotel was great.
Governor.
We stayed at the Grosvenor's house.
Which
right?
is different Hello, than the Grosvenor. Grosvenor's
Hello,
hotel.
Hello, Grosvenor.
So it was really good.
It was perfect.
Yeah. I thought that
it really
was.
The time was perfect. You know, the Thursday through Monday worked out great. We got a chance to do enough. And the party on Saturday night was fantastic, meeting all of the listeners. And I mean all of the listeners over
yeah,
there. I mean,
seriously.
How many were there? 500, 600, Freddie?
Oh, at least.
600? Unbelievable. Unbelievable turnout. And then the venue for the game, Wembley Stadium, was
top-notch.
Overwhelmingly
awesome.
Impressive. Awesome, to quote Bill Belichick.
Like
you said, Freddie, you know, you get the 35-7 win all around.
Icing on the cake.
I right said there. From the bowl to the bathrooms, Wembley nailed it. It's a really, really nice facility.
Yeah, you were raving about the facilities at the facility.
Yeah,
and they were good.
Yeah,
they really were.
The facilities were really nice. You know, they had a hand moisturizer in case you were.
After Catherine Jenkins sang the British national anthem.
Right. God He's save hot. The Queen. Mm. And it's very good the way they do it. You know, I was ranting about this because in America, the Star Spangled Banner is a great song, but too many of the people who sing it try to do their own version of it, and it, you know, keeps people from, I think, singing along, you know, whereas God Save the Queen's very short, very sweet, you know, and it's sung the same way every time, so people sing along, and they do,
All of Wembley was singing.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
It was impressive.
Yeah.
The food was good at Wembley.
Yeah.
Homemade lasagna, it seemed like.
Although I wasn't that impressed with the foot-long hot dog. It tasted a little Oscar Mayer-ish.
Well, it's not their specialty.
Right.
So you can't really get on them for that.
Right.
Is an Oscar Mayer a hot dog maker? I mean.
So, anyway. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Webradio 508.
We really got into the bathrooms less than 3 minutes into the show. We never ceased to.
Well, from bowl to bathrooms. My headphones are terrible.
From bowl to bowl, he could have said.
True.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it's rare when Paul and Andy return from a trip and have nothing to complain about, but...
If it was Andy, it would be from the playing bowl to the spraying bowl.
Well done. But there was literally nothing to complain about.
No. No.
Well, there's one thing. But,
The
bouncer at the party who wouldn't let us in and almost fought us.
Yeah.
He was under strict... You know, rules from me not to let anyone without a ticket.
Wait.
No,
from who?
From me.
Okay. And what's your name?
I ran that place.
And what's your name?
Yeah, but anyone could mention my name. He had to verify it.
So don't you think you...
Right.
Exactly.
He has to verify it.
He did, didn't he?
No. Somebody else did.
I saw you in the place.
No.
Somebody else.
Someone
the other guy.
Someone else came in and said, these guys are with Fred Kirsch and let us in.
There you go.
Yeah, it wasn't that guy.
I wasn't going to let us in.
If that guy didn't happen
along... That guy was a clown.
We'd still be outside in the, behind the velvet
ropes.
If I
saw you three coming up, I wouldn't believe a word you said.
If we got out of a van with the cheerleaders, I mean...
Fred.
Oh.
And then we came back with the bracelets they gave us to show that we could get back in, and he goes, what's that? You guys have been here before.
He was a clown.
He wasn't going to let us in based on the bracelet. He let us in based on the fact he remembered arguing us
earlier. Based on my 4 days of experience, that was the one... I don't know what's the proper word. Discourteous.
He was the only guy.
Yeah. He was the one discourteous person in London.
We learned that bouncers are douches the world around.
Every other person that I encountered was over the top, nice and helpful.
Exactly.
I had a guy, Fred.
He was under a lot of pressure
in
the
I know it was a lot of pressure at the sports cafe as opposed to at Wembley Stadium, where the ushers were not only telling you where things were, they were saying follow me, and taking you there. Because I know there was no pressure with 85,000 plus, descending upon them.
I knew I could find one thing Paul didn't like.
No, absolutely, you can't. I'm telling you, you can't.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable. These people were so polite. It was just an incredible experience.
Mark, he was an import. He seems like Jamaican or something.
The guy that took Brian Lowe and I, we had to go outside to find all access on the street. And rather than just trying to direct us there, he took us through the press lounge, into the elevator, down three stories, through the concourse where you come in, all the way out to the street.
He
didn't have to do that.
The most hectic part of the game is at the end when everyone's scrambling for locker room interviews and such. And we had a woman who worked there escort us a different way than the other media were going to get us down to our press conference area. We were the first ones to show up because there was an enormous queue, as they say, for the elevator to get down to the press conference level. And for some reason, this woman picked us out and asked us if we needed to get down there or whatever. I didn't even realize what was happening. All of a sudden, she was leading us down this place, and we had different twists and turns. And by the time we got down there, we were ahead of everybody else. It was phenomenal.
Oh, it was great. And, we arrived early Friday morning, probably around 5:30 local time, and made our way over to the Grosvenor's house and checked in and went right to work. And no sooner did I get there that I got lost. And in the hotel, the Grosvenor's Hotel is a lot of narrow hallways that kind of, it's like a maze.
Yes.
And
it doesn't look that big from the outside either.
I don't know where, I forget where I was coming from, but I was looking for the lobby. And I turn around and all of a sudden I'm in the players area and turn around again and there's Bill Belichick just looking at me. So I said, Bill, I'm lost. He's like, what are you looking for? I go, the lobby. Because I think if you go to the curtain, take a left, go down the stairs. I think so.
I'm not really in the solving the world's problems.
Of all people.
He solved your problem that day, though.
Yeah. Oh. Even Bill was nice.
And simultaneously solved his own by getting Fred the hell out of there.
Right.
Everybody, and Bill did seem to be in a good mood while he was there.
Mm-hmm. We just saw him in the hallway, actually. He said hi to us.
Yeah. So
PFW and friends. Huh?
Yeah, he did.
So yeah, it was a good trip. Then Friday night, I had to go to the sports cafe and you know, sell tickets with some of the guys from the UK Patriots. What did you guys do on Friday?
We were going to go drink.
Paul and I got lost. We pretty much.
Good driving.
I decided on Friday night that I wasn't talking to Andy the whole rest of the trip.
We walked about 15 miles around London, I'd estimate. We were trying to get from the hotel to Victoria Station, which we had seen on the ride to the hotel. I don't know what happened. It all just ran amok, and we just wandered.
But you know what? Even that ended up being a positive experience. We got to walk around. We saw a lot of stuff. Unfortunately, we were trying, because Andy and I went to practice on Friday, and Eric went to the tour. That he went and did the London Eye and all the stuff with the tower and the bridge and stuff. So we wanted to kind of hook up afterwards, and at first the cell phone service wasn't, and that was, again, through no fault of anybody in London. It was bad info from on our end on how to get in touch with people. So we couldn't find Eric. We couldn't touch base. Andy and I walked for at least, I would say, the better part of 3 hours, maybe, two plus anyway. And Andy kept looking at me because he figured I would run out of gas, which I had run out of gas.
I was really hoping Paul at some point would say, let's just get a cab back to the hotel, but he never did. And I didn't, so I just thought, okay, let's just keep walking.
The cabs are relatively inexpensive.
Yeah.
Yeah, we actually tried
and
to
I
get
love them. Love the
we
look.
We tried
of them.
To get a couple of cabs, and one of them wasn't in service.
I'm not working.
I'm not working. He sped off. But we did get another one, and then we come back to the room, and Eric had been there, and you could clearly see it. Posted some stuff on the blog, but he was gone now. So we go back down, talk to the concierge, and he tells us right across the street there's a nice, you know, traditional English pub, you know, where we can get, you know, like burger and, you know, some beer and stuff. So we go across the street, and we didn't know this at the time, Fred, but I guess it's very customary over there. A lot of people go to these restaurants, and they just go in, they get a beer, and they walk back out to the sidewalk. They have their beer, they smoke, and there had to have been 1,000 people on
what
the
do
corner.
They smoke?
Cigarettes, Andy. Oh. We're back home now. Okay, must have been 1,000 people on the corner outside. So Andy and I think, well, this place is packed. We're never going to be getting in. So we ended up walking back probably another mile.
Right, you think KFC's
to get to another place, but we ended up getting a pretty good meal at that Pizza on the Park place.
Yes.
But come to find out, Eric and Aaron and some, you know, who else?
Scott Barboza.
Scott, some of the members of Media Relations. They were all in there, and the place was fantastic, as the concierge said it was. So that was the one drawback is we didn't get to experience.
Yeah,
was it the Audley?
The Audley pub. Yeah, and to Paul's credit, when you see it from driving by, what happened was we were driving back from the tour, and the woman who was guiding us said, you know, this is a great place to go. She said, don't worry about all the people standing out on the sidewalk. They're just, like Paul said, they're out there having their drinks. But if you go inside and go up the staircase, there's a restaurant area that people don't normally know about or use.
Right.
You should be able to go up there. So that's what Aaron and Scott and
I did. I pretty much figured that out right away when I saw the restaurants, but I don't know what happened with you two. You just
How did you figure that out right away?
Well, that was because they were out smoking. You know, I just figured that's what they do.
That was the first place that we had seen that, though. It's not like we saw seven places like that. That was the first one.
You're the man!
So.
Well, I guess we're just not quite as smart as you are.
And the food was not as worldly either.
Open-minded.
It's too bad they didn't go, because the food was excellent there. And it was very large portions of everything. We had great dessert there. It was phenomenal.
So all this stuff about the food there.
Well, that particular place was excellent. I can't really speak for anything else.
That was supposedly a traditional pub.
That was a traditional English pub, and it was fantastic.
Right.
Before, as Paul said, though, you guys didn't go. We need to rave about the Brit Oval at the Surrey County Cricket Club.
Yeah, I heard that was
150-year-old plus cricket field, pitch, grounds, whatever. It was awesome. The building was cool. The room where Belichick and Brady held their press conferences had all those old, like, portrait paintings of great midfielders and leaders and all these people or whatever from cricket. And then the field itself was massive, 23,000 seats. And the football field was kind of a drop in the bucket in the center of the field. It's be interesting to see a cricket match held on that huge field. But that was really cool. And I think a lot of the players really understood how cool it was. You know, I told Eric, Seau came up to Dan Copen, was asking him some of the rules, it seemed, of cricket and home runs and whatever they call them. And
I watched the whole match on Friday night, and I still have no idea.
Well, you were drunk, so.
What's going on?
You know what sport Andy and I were getting into over there, though, was rugby.
Yes, we watched a couple of those on TV because, you know, TV
was
kind of limited.
That's a pretty cool sport.
So what were you into more, rugby or the Olympics?
I got to say, I'm pretty hooked on both of them, Paul.
Yeah. So.
But rugby's more current, so I'm going to go with rugby right now.
And most importantly, I crushed Eric's dreams on Friday when I made my BBC debut in an interview with BBC One on the 6 o'clock news. So, you know, the pompous Eric has never been on BBC, but I'm a favorite of the network.
Yeah.
That's great. You've now been on international TV?
Yes, I've gone international.
That's great.
And the producer who asked me was hot.
That means you should get more money for PFW.
More from zero is zero is zero.
So, all right.
Great trip overall, though.
But then Saturday we had the huge flag football game, which we all attended with some of our listeners, James and Cormick, and, you know, this huge Patriots contingent that got their asses whooped by, like, $5 guys and a couple ringers.
Half of whom were old men with beer bellies.
Or 8-year-old kids.
Sneakers and jeans.
Not even 8, probably 5-year-old kids.
Yeah, to me, that's the only down thing of the whole trip was the fact that the Patriots team lost to the Bucks team in flag football.
Didn't lose.
And
got James, embarrassed. You know, absolutely James, undressed.
Touchdowns to one.
James put it right, too. Even their fat guys were better than our skinny guys.
It was. But apparently there were a couple ringers who may or may not have even been Bucks fans and were just given T-shirts on showed up.
Yeah, supposedly there were two of them that weren't Bucks fans.
Yeah, which
and,
one?
And
which
they
were
scoring all the touchdowns. So I don't know if that was one of those things that, you know, we sort of, you know, threw out there because we had lost. And we said, yeah, that guy and that guy, they're not even Bucks fans. But even that was a great time, too.
The location, Richmond
Beautiful.
Park.
Richmond Park in
with
Surrey.
Just herds of deer grazing in the distance. And I guess it was the home of Henry the Eighth. And so the deer,
really?
He likes deer, so they're protected. If you kill a deer, apparently you can be executed in England today.
Really?
That's how protected they are. Now, I don't know if they would follow through with it, but it's one of those that goes back hundreds of years. And just kind of typical what you picture in your mind of, like, relatively flat hill, but with that high grass just blowing in the wind and horses kind of coming through and little streams going through all the fields.
Beautiful.
It was
absolutely
it was really cool. That whole area was really cool.
And we should also add, too, it was a little overcast and drizzly that day, but we were in Britain for 4 days. Three of them were bright and sunny days.
Yeah.
And even that day that was rainy, it was just drizzle.
It
wasn't really that bad. We were outside the whole time.
Well, the urinals at the sports cafe were troughs.
Yes, saw that.
Again,
I don't know how that has to do
about
with the weather.
We're raving about the landscape and the history of England. And
all of the things that we're talking about that we liked.
I'm just trying to participate with things that I saw.
And you pop in with the bathroom.
Okay, well, since
locations.
I heard you pounded back a number of beers, what was your beer of choice at the sports cafe?
Well, my first one, I had Cold Brains, which is like a Guinness, but it's cold. So I like that. But that I actually started Friday afternoon because I had to go there early, and I pounded a Brains back early. Then I went back to the hotel. Then I had to go back to the cafe later that night. And then I started with a Stella Artois, and then I was told those are called wife beaters. After 5 o'clock, they're called wife beaters.
So if you go in with
England,
a T-shirt.
Right.
With the tank top T-shirt and ask for one of
a
those.
A beater and a beater.
Right. So then I started.
Did they say why?
It's just like a kind of a low-class beer, they consider it.
Yeah. Okay.
Wow. Interesting.
How about that?
Mr. Snob over here who orders it because he thinks it's highbrow.
Right.
I actually had a Guinness over there, my friend.
It must have been killing me.
Yeah, I know.
Thank
but I'm saying,
much.
Remember in the trip
and
to somewhere
else?
And what did you have? I had a couple of buds. Oh.
But the boys were all ordering.
What are those cookies?
Jackpot.
Really?
The boys were all ordering.
Yes.
Oh, my God. They just sent the cookies from Grandy.
Wow.
But those things are
in a
decadent.
Huge pizza box.
Yeah. The boys were drinking jugs, you know, pitchers of beer. I don't know what was in it. It tasted more or less like a lager.
Drinking from jugs.
So, you know, we were drinking those.
I know a lot of people, Fred.
You know a lot of people?
No. Well, I had to stop.
He's from Everett. He does know a lot of people.
That's true. But a lot of people were interested in what I was drinking. I just went with the traditional Bud.
Budweiser. Yeah. Now, did it taste the same there as it does
here? Well, it was
here?
Warm. A lot of them were warm.
Really?
Yeah.
By
but
choice?
I think that was just it was so busy. It was so busy, they were like dumping them in the cooler, but they were going out.
Yeah, and they told me that. She said, this is a little warm. Would you like something else? And I had a Heineken once, just to have, you know, because it was she had you could clearly just
right.
feel it. She had just put that one in.
Right.
But they wouldn't. I didn't really get a really really cold beer.
Yeah, there's just too much
out of the 37 that I had that night.
Yeah.
Not once though did he yell science the whole evening.
No. No science.
We didn't hear him. No.
No. Yeah, I was kind of busy.
Which is ironic because I probably had twice as many beers that night as I did the night that you guys claim I was drunk.
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, how much food you have in your stomach and all that. Yeah.
Maybe so. I just drink to get drunk.
So, yeah, that Saturday was just
same
phenomenal.
Same thing, Andy?
At the party on Saturday, of course, Robert Kraft showed up, and that was people going crazy. Then, you know, John Smith was there as well. And, you know, a lot of people don't realize here, but in the early 80s, John Smith was flown over by Sky Sports or the BBC, one or the other, every week. And he would do the voiceover and do all the highlights.
It was every week?
Every week.
Yeah.
It was an NFL highlight. And he was the first guy that introduced American football to people in England.
He had to tell that story about 76 times.
Well, that's his story.
Trip. No, yeah. I'm not making fun of him.
Oh,
but I mean, many people
recognized
him.
It.
Yeah.
And then he would explain the whole story.
Yeah,
I mean, it was phenomenal how many people recognized
him.
They
were like, you're the guy that used to do, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That must have sucked. Every week flying back and forth
across.
I mean, for him, at least it was going
He
home.
Said, like, I sat, you know, on the plane, I sat with my back to the wall. You know, I was the last seat in my
we should
section.
Point out that
premium
you,
class
that you were in the premium
but
class.
There was a little space behind here and
the steerage you know Eric Andy and I
and
were
John Smith used to say that the way the stewardess used to allow him to lie on the floor behind that row and sleep. Wow. And that's he would tell her don't wake me up until we get to Boston. So yeah, so
he
was
seemed
there.
Like he had a really good time on the trip overall.
He
was
did.
It with the, you know, because I mean that's kind of a tough trip for a guy to make, you know, for an alumni, you know, he was there, you know, I didn't, did he get a chance to?
Oh, yeah.
He seemed like he had a good time.
Yeah. So Robert showed up, John Smith
nice
was
guy,
there.
Too. Very nice. Nice guy.
Now, Gino and Gil showed up, and they were like rock stars. I mean, people were just going crazy.
Hello.
Light bulbs flashing, and they were all yelling
Who
Gino.
Who knew Doc was going to try to actually,
Doc's
you know,
on his game today.
You know, and then, I knew Troy Brown was in town, and
Give
we had
minutes.
Extended an invitation to him. I didn't think he would show up, but then all of a sudden, no sooner did Gino and Gil get through addressing the crowd, there's Troy Brown. And the place went crazy.
They sang a song, and I forget exactly how it went now because I had 37 beers, but it was pretty funny.
Yeah.
The way they were, and they were all, I mean, Troy Brown.
Oh, yeah.
They were all singing. And
bingo. Yeah. Bingo.
It was like, you know, like
bingo.
He was talking about with God Save the Queen. Like,
right.
Everybody was singing.
Right. They all knew the words and gave away a bunch of raffle items and stuff.
That was the first time we got to see Fred. Fred pointed out that we got there about 5:30 a.m.
Right.
The last I saw Fred, the three
walking
of us,
through the terminal.
The four of us were walking together through the terminal, and Fred had to put his bag down to switch hands because his arm was getting tired. Never saw him again until Saturday night at the UK Patriots.
I wanted to tell you, Fred, I showed restraint because I wasn't sure who was around at that point. We were just arriving in London, but you said, I got to stop. I got to switch hands. And I wanted to say, that's what she said, but I didn't. And then I think the next words I heard from you were, something about, oh, yes, you got on the microphone, and I laughed out loud.
I was teaching people the Brewski breakdown.
And then you used it with,
check it out,
some of the guests when they arrived.
Right.
Dan Shaughnessy was there as well, but he just didn't pay attention.
Yeah,
because he then wrote the next day that the only Patriots fans there were from America, when all the Patriots fans I met were speaking strange accents.
Right, I would say
accents.
That, I would say 35.
Listen, just once, Dan.
It's
not about you.
My estimate is that 35% of the people were from America. 65% were from Europe.
I think that's fair.
You know,
probably right.
But there
right
was a large chunk, whatever the portion was.
Yeah.
He thought they were all just Americans that flew over.
Well, his words were the only people wearing Brady shirts were the Yahoos that came over from New England.
Well, the only Yahoo who wrote that was the Yahoo who wasn't paying attention.
Right.
You know what? Because maybe he was standing there all alone and nobody was talking to him, so maybe he
maybe.
Got a little pissy.
No, well, he's always a little pissy.
I don't know how you could have been there and not realized how many UK fans there were.
He just had his eyes closed. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, he never came into the back, the big area in the back.
Everywhere.
Where,
it was obvious.
It was
looked
pretty
at
obvious.
People. That, I mean, it was almost slapped you in the face.
It was
obvious.
Like a nightclub on a Friday night. It was,
he just packed. He mailed it in.
Yeah. Well, he had an agenda, and, you know,
he wasn't going to
let
the facts get
the
in the way.
Exactly. Right. He wasn't going to let the facts get in the way.
The interesting thing, Mark, who had warned us ahead of time of this, every jersey was represented at the stadium. First of all, most people there had some jersey on.
Right.
But there were Dolphins, Redskins, other teams that had played there, then just random team jerseys. I mean, I think if you tried, you could have probably found all 32 team jerseys represented.
As well as some of the old World League jerseys.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So they, interesting crowd, I thought. A lot of passion. Not sure it was always well directed and focused, but it got loud a lot of times. The wave.
They love the wave.
Huge
over there.
Wave. Huge boos if they didn't continue the wave. There were times where it was pretty deafening, I thought.
Now, Saturday morning, while you guys went on a little bit of a tour, I think you...
That was Sunday morning. Saturday was the flag football game.
Oh, okay. Saturday morning, I woke up, and as soon as Harrods opened, I ran into Harrods to get some things.
Harrods was awesome.
Now, Harrods, I know if you're a local, Harrods is a tourist trap. But let me tell you, it's the most amazing department store I've ever been to in my life. I've been there before once. It really is incredible.
But overwhelming.
Yeah, you can't.
You need
2 days just to go through it.
Yeah, we went in there looking for like the toy section. It took us forever to find it, and then the toy section was just like, you turn here, keep going.
Right.
World of this, world of that, room of this.
And there's
but there's like boats and stuff. People, you can buy anything.
People working there were like playing with the toys.
Yeah, I got hit in the head with a plane. The guy threw a plane, wham, right.
Well, that's not hard.
I thought that was exactly. Yeah. You can't blame that on the worker.
Right.
But like the whole food area we went down.
Hamley's it was?
Yeah, we went to Hamley's toy store, and Andy got hit in the head.
Oh, I remember to go to Hamley's.
I was impressed. That was like the Harrods of toy stores.
Now, how was that?
Cool. Phenomenal.
Everything. Really?
Yeah. Everything.
I didn't get
six
to go
stories
there.
And really? Just jam-packed.
Andy and I go in the toy department of Harrods, and he was looking for one particular – he was looking for a Rory the race car. And like you described it perfectly. There's like a room. Every time you think you're done with the department, there's another whole room with other stuff. So we're looking for this one particular thing, and he's like – so we spread out. He's on one side. I'm on the other. And I'm like, oh, hey, what about this?
Right.
I know. I'm playing with all this other stuff. And he comes over. You find anything? I'm like, yeah, no.
It was very cool.
You know, so I'm kind of wandering around. I needed to get something for my wife, something for my kid. And I happened to wander into this luxury items section.
Just happened to.
And they've got these sculptures that, you know, were going for like $500,000.
Yeah.
You know,
how many of those you get?
Yeah, anything you want. They say if they don't have it, they'll get it for you.
Well, they didn't have Rory.
$1 million.
Wow. When I got to Rory, they said, yeah, check Hamley's.
You know?
It was...
But food, too.
Tremendous.
Remember we went to... There was like a live Krispy Kreme and pizza. One thing we wandered into looked like a hall where you'd get like married. Or there was just tables, endless mile of tables.
You could get like a boxed lunch all the way to like a
five-star
meal and anything in between.
In Harrods? Oh, yeah.
Within
it was
Harrods,
like on different floors. There were different floors of food.
Did you go into the pets area?
Oh, I didn't.
I didn't go into the pets area.
They went without.
They had a 20,000-pound dog necklace.
Yeah, that was the
day that we
got
dog
split
collar.
Up.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
How much?
20,000-pound dog collar.
That's the biggest lesson I took away. There's a lot of money in London.
Oh,
from
yeah.
the cars to the department. I mean, we saw
the
Ferraris
homes,
and
the
everything.
Cars,
every store, every block had a car dealership in it, whether it's BMW or Ferrari, Lotus.
And they didn't have too many Kias on sale.
No.
You know,
it was all Aston Martins
Maseratis.
Cadillac had a dealership.
Yeah,
Cadillac right next to the hotel.
It is a huge concentration of money in
ridiculous.
That city.
Beautiful city, too.
But
I loved it.
Wonderful people in great facilities. Everything around it was perfect.
It just seems like, you know, I'm sure they have their problems too, but they deal with it differently. I think in America we're like more closed. We keep it closer to the vest, and they're a little bit more outgoing. I think, you know, I don't know.
And a lot of hot.
You might rabbit.
Oh, we were overwhelmed by the
I
hot.
I want to know why
city.
None of our thousands and thousands of UK listeners told us that. Because there was one stunning 6-foot woman after another, from Thursday through Monday,
blondes, brunettes,
and
everything.
They all had a passion for those knee high leather boots.
Well, all
boots,
that's,
oh my
spandex.
God.
That's okay. They live there though.
Yeah.
That's I don't care where they're from.
I mean, unfortunately for Andy and I and Eric, because we're all on the short side. I mean, they were all like 6 feet plus, but they were unbelievably
attractive. Well, I mean, there's
women.
A big fashion industry in London.
Oh, yeah. Right. And there was a lot of model types, too.
Yeah.
Actually, Andy and I passed
model.
One.
And theater, it's a big theater city.
Right.
Yep. Yep.
There was one that was
exceptionally
hot.
Actually, there was two different times. One, we passed
Paul
the place.
Paul was a pro.
Yeah, I still think she may have been.
And just so you know, if I could have found that out definitively, my per diem would have been used. She was unbelievable.
You talking about the purple dress?
No,
that was a different one outside
the party.
She was
short. She was one of the few short
I think she was just a girl. But she wasn't just a girl.
She was
I wanted to touch more than the height.
But there was
like
a modeling agency, at past, you know, all those flats that they had, you know, all the brownstone kind of places. Yeah. There was flats. One there, and there was like good four word. Or five. Well, that's what they call it.
As I said, it's a good word. It's funny.
And they were.
How come we can use that word?
There was probably what, 8 or 10 girls out in front, and
there were
all beautiful.
Here.
Then we were driving
I couldn't
down.
Say the FA word.
Where were we? What street were we driving down when there was the girl was actually in the street taking the. Pictures.
Oh, yeah, like a back, it was a back street behind like the hotel or something.
And they had like the lights out, and you know, it was like a real
photo jump out of the way.
Going on.
Yeah, on Saturday they had that anti-war demonstration. So my cabbie was trying to get me to the sports cafe because I had all these boxes of stuff. We went down this.
They didn't
one,
just set you up with a bunk there or anything.
No, we went down this one road called Savile Row or Seville Road, row. You know, one store after another of men's tailors and men's clothing. I mean, unbelievable.
Clothier?
Did you buy anything?
Clothiers. No, I didn't.
Clothiers.
But so there was an
hello, Governor.
There was an anti-war demonstration
hello.
On Saturday, and it
right now they're thinking, what are they trying to say? Yeah.
this war demonstration went all through Hyde Park and all that stuff, and it closed most of the streets. My cabbie couldn't get me to the sports cafe, and I had all these boxes. So I had to get these guys on rickshaws to take me the rest of the way. I paid two
poor
guys.
Poor bastards.
We piled all the boxes on one rickshaw, and I went in the other, and they took me the back way through, you know, the China.
They had rickshaws?
Yeah.
With the bicycle cars.
Bicycles with carriages.
Not a guy running.
Yeah.
I was going to say, that would have been hilarious.
Kramer wasn't pulling it.
Because with Fred in it, the guy couldn't run.
Right. So we went all through these back roads in Chinatown. They have a Chinatown there.
Oh, really? I didn't see that.
And to get to the sports cafe, and
Fred rode a rickshaw through Chinatown.
You know, I felt like a real ass, you know, sitting in one of these. But anyway,
you were.
So then we get to the edge of where the police are. You know, they've got the roads cleared. So I go up to the cop and I said,
"The Bobby."
I said if we walk these down the street, you know, can I get down here? He goes, I go, you know, I'm from the New England Patriots. You know who I am.
No,
I
flashed his ID.
and he looks at it, he goes, all right, just be gentle. So he let us walk the rickshaws down. That's how I got to the sports.
Mind the gap.
Otherwise, did you hear Brady talking about that? He, that was pretty funny, though. They did that with a very good accent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, you mind the gap.
So good trip.
Great trip.
Excellent. Of course, leaving
best
John
ever.
Dennis to step on his line as he's talking.
Right.
The only thing we needed was maybe like another day, a little down day.
Yeah,
because even the tour we did was literally like fly by night, drive by. Oh, there's Big Ben. Oh, there's the bridge. Oh, there's
it was
this.
Literally like Chevy Chase, on European vacation,
right. And a tour guide who
Big Ben, Parliament.
Big Ben, Parliament.
Apparently, when they speak English, doesn't mean I understand the English they're speaking. Because I was like one for every three words the tour guide had.
Right. All right. Well, that was the trip of London. We're going to talk about the game in London right after this.
Man, it's football season. Usually the house is decked out by now. You know, the football lamps and the big wall posters.
Dude, it is decked out. But this year, I'm working on a higher level.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it.
Well, you're just not on that level. I've got Razor Sharp Fios TV from Verizon, so I don't just watch the game, I feel like I'm in it. The whole place has ultra-quick Fios internet, so my computer becomes my own personal press box. Right.
So, no little football helmet soaps in the bathroom this year?
Sadly, no. But with ESPN MVP, I get stats, scores, and highlights sent straight to my wireless phone.
With Verizon's Fios TV and internet, plus wireless apps like ESPN MVP, you have everything you need to take your football experience to the next level. Verizon, official telecommunications provider of the New England Patriots. Select VCast phone and VPAC subscription required. Fios available in select areas.
You are so far beyond football shape, serving Trace.
Just found out American Airlines flies to more than 250 cities in 40 countries. That's a lot of flying. So basically, that's 250 different things that I can put on my out-of-office auto reply. Why, I could say, island hopping in Hawaii, returning Friday. This is going to be fun. Better yet, swimming with whale sharks in Cancun and back on... Wait, that sounds dangerous. Oh, I know. How about samba dancing in Rio back on Monday? Wish you were here. Well, not really. But with flights to over 250 cities in 40 countries, it's easy to get wherever I want to go on American. Even if it just happens to be sales meeting in Des Moines, back tomorrow.
What will you put on your out-of-office reply? 250 cities, 40 countries, unlimited possibilities. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
The Patriots are celebrating their 50th anniversary, and you can too at the Patriots Pro Shop. The Patriots Pro Shop is the place to find all the official 50th season merchandise. Everything from the 1963 jerseys the players are wearing this season to polos, sweatshirts, and hats featuring the original Pat Patriot logo. The Patriots Pro Shop has the widest selection of Patriots merchandise, including many 50th season items that you won't find anywhere else. Located next to Gillette Stadium at Patriot Place, the Patriots Pro Shop is open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sundays from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. or 24 hours a day at PatriotsProShop.com. And if you order from PatriotsProShop.com, we'll ship your order for just $5. You'll know it's authentic when you order from PatriotsProShop.com because your item is being shipped from Gillette Stadium. Celebrate 50 years of Patriots football at the Patriots Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room.
All right, back here in PFW in progress. Eric was just talking about nuts. Did you get a tea bag while you were at in England? Tea is very big.
It is actually. One of the members of the PR department came back with a big sampler of
Fortnum
tea bags.
And Mason.
I bought some Twinings English breakfast tea.
Twinings is good. Fortnum and Mason was good. Yep. Had 4 o'clock tea at Wembley Stadium, Fred.
Did you really?
Yes, I did.
Well, that's something.
I had tea proper in Britain.
That's great. And you walked on the pitch of Wembley. That's
we
not,
did.
That's something that
I did.
Not a lot of people can say they've done.
We did.
That's true. You know?
I was with the great B-Lo. Not only that, I was with
B-Lo.
Even making us more special, we walked on the pitch at Wembley and the pitch at the Brit Oval.
Right. Yes.
How many people have walked on both? Right. The woman from BBC told me the center strip of the Brit Oval, it had been re-sodded for football because normally
it just got all chewed up.
Chewed up for cricket and everything.
Right.
She's not allowed to step foot on there. They like
cordon it off.
You're not allowed, and she's like, this is amazing. They're practicing on this. Like it was literally sacred ground.
It was sacrilegious that they were practicing on it. She said, we're not even allowed to walk on it.
Whatever events happen
there. That used to be our stadium, remember?
Yeah.
You know.
No, but this is not like a security. This is like almost a religious.
Yeah. If you had a practice, if the Patriots were practicing out there, they wouldn't stop the media from walking on the field.
This was different. This was just history. Just if you're not a member of the team, you're not on there.
That's what I love about London. It's so cosmopolitan. Yet,
It's the blend. The blend of new and old is really amazing.
History.
I told my wife. She was asking me. I said it's because we've been to both. I said it's kind of like Washington meets New York, and they both took steroids. Like it's history versus modern and all the money, but they're both just massive. Like it just blew up.
Yeah.
And Paul and I both had an awakening driving home. Just the difference, like because we were in London one morning, then you're driving home.
Yeah.
The streets here are wider. The air, like it's just open space. It's just so dramatically different.
And it's it was fall there, obviously too, and it looked like New England. You know, the leaves were changing color, and it just it really felt like home in a lot of ways too.
Yeah,
I think I want to go back.
I do too.
I'm gonna go with Brady when he's the quarterback of the London Monarchs.
I would love to do all this traveling if it just wasn't for the traveling.
Right. We need to just get beamed over.
And he's not the only one that can.
Paul,
do it.
Maybe they'll actually over there not have the games on Sundays when they try to work out schedules and stuff. Who knows? You won't have to work Sundays if you go over there.
Probably be traveling though.
Yeah,
it's true.
All right, so the game itself, Paul was pretty much right that Tampa Bay, unlike the Titans who gave up, never gave up, but just didn't have the talent to compete with the Patriots. And
certainly at the quarterback
position. You know, I was certainly not alone on that one. I think all four of us were.
You know, they started out okay. They had a little bit of a drive going, and then when Brandon Merriweather picked that one off for a touchdown,
game set.
That was it.
Paul gave the nod.
Yep.
Turned around, gave the nod.
That was it. Brady didn't have the best of days. Couple interceptions in the second quarter. But overall, I think the short pass served the Patriots well in this game.
Well, he was good except for those two passes.
Two really bad throws. Yeah.
The throw
I think
made,
it was typical Brady. Like the old school Brady, there's always those. He's always, remember the Super Bowl throw? He always, every once in a while, just throws up
one in there.
Is this really Tom Brady?
How
head
did
scratcher.
That happen?
And it's always in a game where he goes like 24 of 30, But there's two just, what was he doing?
Right.
And I think both those were that case.
The throw to Watson down the seam was such a perfect throw, I can't believe Watson
right.
caught it.
Right.
Because those are the ones he usually drops. It's the acrobatic ones he comes up with, but this was right there.
The thing that was really neat about that play was, and I listened to Tom talk about it a little after, and then again yesterday on, was it yesterday that he talked?
I don't know.
No, it must have been today. I don't know. Whatever. when he was talking about it,
you figure it out and get back to me.
Yeah, I'm having a full-fledged conversation in my head right
yesterday
now.
Yesterday on Patriots Monday,
Tuesday. I don't know when. I don't know when it was, but anyway,
when people were bitching that we weren't on,
as soon as they went to the line of scrimmage, he knew like exactly how the play was going to unfold. He knew there's no way the linebacker was going to be able to stay with them, even though Raheem Morris has insisted that Geno Hayes on Benjamin Watson is a matchup that they like.
That's okay. Why Raheem Morris.
Sure. Okay. I guess if we'll it was, I don't know what would have happened if it was a linebacker that he didn't like. Maybe he wouldn't even have been on the field at the same time because he was 5 yards in the clear. You know, just to have a play unfold like that where, you know, the quarterback admits after the game, we broke the line, we broke the huddle and we knew we had exactly what we wanted and it was there and bang, 35-yard touchdown. Just like, you know, it was like a high school play. It was so open.
Yeah. Defensively, can't complain, although, you know, the quarterback for Tampa Bay is just not ready
situation.
For the NFL. It's awful.
The raw ability, you know, I mean, he's a good athlete. He can move. He's got a strong, tall, he's got a strong arm. But, my God, I have never seen a guy throw as inaccurate a pass as that guy did.
Yeah.
He almost killed Sammy Strotter when he tried to adjust to a ball that was as badly thrown behind him as any ball I've ever seen.
That's why when the first interception that Merriweather had, he was so inaccurate all game. I'm not sure that it's been kind of written, and it looks like that maybe the guy either ran the wrong route or the quarterback read the wrong defense and threw the ball. And, you know,
I'm
maybe,
not so sure.
I think he may have just thrown the ball 5 yards behind him.
Yeah.
Because he threw a lot of passes during the course of the game far off target.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Except when he scrambled and ran out. Then he kind of looked comfortable.
And then the
put him in like the Arena League or maybe
you know
Canada.
What? The poor SOB.
When we watched his draft footage, that's a lot. All the highlights were of him running around, scrambling,
break it down, and then
let he
him
had
go.
That one where he got out of the pocket, he avoided pressure, and he bought himself some time. Little like 15-yard crossing route flip to Antonio Bryant, and he dropped it. Yeah. It's like this poor guy can't win for losing.
Yeah. So it really was a mismatch. I think I'm not saying the Patriots took it easy, but I think they could have scored a lot more than 35.
Brady came out early. Moss came out early. Yeah. And the Patriots didn't even play well.
They certainly could have.
They had 10 penalties. See, they were jumping off sides.
I don't think they took it easy. I think they could have tacked another one on had they not taken Brady out. They probably would have scored again. Because Hoyer had a drive there that they didn't score on that probably if Brady was in, they would have.
Right.
But Andy's right. They didn't score more than 35 mostly because of themselves.
Right. Yeah.
With all the penalties.
Yeah, 10 penalties.
They blew.
What, 8 on the offensive line?
8 on the offensive line. Mankins had a bunch.
That's ridiculous.
Mankins had 4.
And you know, I know a lot of people said it was loud in there. It really wasn't.
Well, at times it was.
Well, yeah, but not when it would have affected the offensive line.
It was not the loudest place they've ever played.
Right, yeah.
No doubt.
I mean, people were cheering, but not really like when they're supposed to cheer.
And that's why Bill bristled at any excuses. Yeah. No, it just wasn't. There's no excuse.
Yeah, the turf.
Thanks, Andy.
You know, now the players said
that you were going to bristle that ball.
The players say the turf was fine. They were wearing the screw-in cleats. I did see a lot of chunks coming up. I saw people slip.
I saw a couple of slips. I didn't see any chunks coming.
I didn't either.
I have pictures of chunks of grass up in the air.
Chunks or little, like. Chunks is what it was a couple of years ago when it was.
Oh, okay, not chunks. That
when they were stopping plays so they could get grounds crews out there to put it back.
They were basically resodding between plays.
Nothing like that.
It looked like there was a lot more of people slipping in the first half, and I think they might have gotten used to how it felt or whatever. Because as the game went on, it didn't seem to be as bad.
At one point, Randy Moss, they were kind of like at a break, and Randy Moss is kind of like doing, you know, little cuts, and he slipped. You know.
And the Tampa Bay guys that were slipping, that was just because they were trying to stop short and get back to the pass, which was behind them.
Right. So that's as far as like what the NFL gave, you know, to the UK in this game. That's the only bad part was it wasn't a competitive game. So, you know, it didn't really hold a lot of people's interest, I don't think. But, hey, from our standpoint, it's kind of what we want, right?
Well,
if it was a competitive game, we'd be coming home going, "What's wrong with the Patriots?"
We didn't want a competitive game.
No, I mean the Patriots did what a good team is supposed to do to a bad team.
Drop the hammer right off the go. 14-0 after one.
Yep, that was it. That was it.
Brandon Merriweather, your defensive player of the week.
AFC defensive player of the week.
Earlier in the day, Liverpool beat Manchester United 2-0, so it was two losses.
Fred was very, very
happy. One day for the Glazers.
Fred was almost giddy.
And Fred is already aligning himself with Liverpool in case any
just
of these rumors ever become true and Robert buys the Liverpool team.
No, they already
team.
Have a somebody already bought them. That's already done.
I know, but
yeah, but you never know.
Things teams
get
change. Sold multiple times sometimes.
Robert Kraft
they are picketing against
involved.
Those owners.
I know, but he'll never get involved in Premier or any of those European leagues because there's no salary cap. You're competing against every other team in Europe.
And I got to tell you, if he ever gets involved because there's a salary cap because he somehow gets it, I wouldn't go over there if I were him because I have the feeling everybody in all of Europe would hate him for changing the structure.
When Liverpool was for sale, we were getting emails saying, please have him buy the team.
But if he is the reason that there's a salary cap instituted, I think he'll be hated, universally hated.
Well, the only way there can be a salary cap is if all the leagues adopt it.
And if that happens, I wouldn't go over there because I'd be scared to death because you're changing the fabric of their game.
Yeah.
So I don't think you'd be a popular fella.
So.
But yeah, the Manchester, the Glazers lost twice in one day.
Yeah. Right.
That hurts. That one leaves a mark. Especially since Liverpool was like
the underdog, weren't they?
They had lost four games or something.
Right.
Basically, we're fighting for their season to stay in the hunt.
Tampa's a mess, too. The Bucks,
with that whole restructuring they did.
Are they a mess or are they cleansing?
Well, I think they're a mess.
I think they're cleansing.
I don't think you can cleanse.
I think he wanted somebody who he was going to pay like $200,000 to be the coach. He was going to get rid of the players, eat salary cap money, and whatever it's next year, the year after, then they'll bring in another big name coach, GM, do whatever they're really going to do. I think they're in a transition period that's playing out just like in Major League. They knew exactly what they were getting into, and this is what they wanted.
Well, that might be so, but I don't think the results are going to be. I don't think they have any.
It's funny. I think they might have said, let's put these guys out there. We'll cut all the veterans. We'll pick first overall next year. I think the results might be exactly what they wanted.
Oh, no.
Well, it might be, but I don't think it's going to end up translating into wins anytime soon because I don't think they have any talent.
Oh, see, I think they have some young talent.
I don't think they have a lot of it. I think the better players in their team aren't young.
They're middle of their career. I mean, you're talking about fourth, fifth-year veterans.
Yeah,
who
are they building around?
Well, I think Cadillac Williams is going to be there.
Really?
I think Kellen Winslow is going to be there. I think Aqib Talib is going to be there.
So,
I mean, I think you have some young players.
Talib, I think, is
Sammy Strouder, who looks like he's going to be a part of their offense.
I love Josh Freeman.
Maybe. I mean, I don't know anything about
I don't think
Freeman.
He can play, and that's part of the reason why I don't have any hope for him. You know what's funny? We went to the flag football game on the Saturday with the Bucks team. Now, the Patriots, it was Tom Brady shirts predominantly. Now, the Patriots contingent was probably about 30 or 40 strong. There was a lot of Bradys, a lot of Wes Welkers.
People from Great Britain and the UK and everything wearing these.
Yes.
Who else?
A few Moss.
Welker.
Randy Moss. Yeah, Welker and Brady, I thought, were the most.
Right. Brewski.
Yeah, there was a Brewski or two.
Yeah, so it was a lot. All the Bucks. It was Hardy Nickerson. Mike Allstott.
Who was there?
Who was there, by the way.
Yeah, who was at the event.
Right.
All guys that had played for the Bucks, John Lynch, I think that was one
Derek
or two
Brooks.
Of those.
During their heyday.
Oh, there were a lot of Derek Brooks. Good call.
During their heyday.
Yeah, there was one guy that was still on the team. I think it was an Antonio Bryant shirt. I saw one at number 89.
Yeah.
Every other guy, and they probably had maybe 20 players, if that.
Yeah.
We had a lot. We probably had 2.5 times the amount of players that they had.
Right.
But it was just funny. All the Patriot shirts were current players for the most part.
You should have gone in there, Paul, did a little quarterbacking.
No, we were doing play-by-play on the side.
Oh, okay.
We had a great time.
Yeah.
It was fun.
And, you know, you were talking about Gil and Gino. You know, they showed up. They were like rock stars. I got to tell you, the way they treated us, the three of us, it was fantastic. It was like they were telling us stuff about ourselves that we didn't even know.
Holy Toledo!
It was good stuff. Took a lot of pictures, a lot of hugs.
Mm.
Well, Eric and I did.
No, I took a lot of pictures and hugs.
Andy sat in the VIP area. He was very, very, very important.
It's not accurate.
508-543-7482 is the phone number. On a phone right now is Craig. Craig, how you doing?
Cheater.
I'm doing fine.
Why are you calling the big show?
Yeah, we heard you yesterday.
Cheater on us. I heard you.
Shut up. Hell, you guys are out of town.
Shut up now.
It was yesterday.
Yesterday I heard you talking about the Celtics. Not only were you cheating on the show, you were cheating on the sport, the organization. Talking about
not
Big Baby.
Not necessarily. Hey, was PFW in progress on yesterday?
No.
No.
Shut up.
Wow. I'll tell you to shut up.
Shut
Call
up.
Back if you want.
That's funny.
Call back, Craig. We had to blow you up for that.
All right. So we should probably get to some emails.
Probably, yes.
Yeah. Get a lot of them coming in.
A lot of emails.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. By the way, Berman, he's getting worse. By the end of the show on Monday night, it's like he's literally got lava coming out of his throat. Come on, man. It's ridiculous.
He's also doing a lot of commercials now.
Yeah.
He's got a new TGI Fridays one or something.
You got to cash in.
But
retirement is near.
I thought they weren't allowed to do those. I thought ESPN was pretty restricted.
Well, but he's one of the founders, so I think he can kind of do what he wants.
But isn't his message is conflicting? He loses the weight
right.
Slim Fast.
Exactly. He's on Slim Fast, and you flick to a different channel, and he's eating like a 2-for-20 meal.
He's covering Applebee's. All bases on the advertising.
Andy, I know you didn't see anything from the weekend. Did you happen to
see
that?
No.
Buffalo and Carolina, 425 total yards to 167, and they lost 20-9.
Oh, my God.
How bad
Carolina put
Cologne
up 400 yards of offense?
425 yards of offense, and they lost.
He's pretty bad now.
4 turnovers to none for Buffalo.
I'm going
to
see a turnover here?
I'm guessing.
That's like winning the aggregate goals and losing.
Sandra Ruiz writes in.
She says,
I'm from Germany and a big Pats fan.
Thanks, I guess.
It has something to do
with
that my husband for 14 years is from Boston. We went to see the Pats on Sunday. It was awesome. The best thing of all, I got a signature from Mr. Brady, Mr. Welker, Mr. Thomas, and Mr. Seau. Mr. Wolford said he'll be back. I'm still waiting. What I want to say, it was
like
a great experience to see the players so close up. I don't think I would be able to see them so close up in the USA. You're probably right. If you have, I change. Could you please say to those guys?
A chance, Fred.
Okay.
My God.
Could you please say to those guys one more time, thanks for taking the time to sign my hat. I was the only one they signed a hat for. I know you maybe don't do it, but I'm taking a chance.
Change.
Spelled it changing.
Where was all this interaction
with players?
She's from
Germany. Give her a break.
It must have been around the field perimeter.
Because I read a lot of emails and people saying they got a lot of interaction with players, autographs, hellos, and I didn't.
Yeah.
I don't know when that really
occurred.
You know what's
funny? Not a lot of that around the hotel.
No.
No.
Not anywhere close to that amount that we usually get on the road.
Yeah. Right.
You know,
well, because most of those on the road are professionals.
Yeah.
They're trying to get it for their businesses or their eBay or whatever.
But there was none. None of that activity at the hotel, which was nice.
Yeah. Ian in Maryland is the person who bought us lunch.
Thanks,
Ian. Hey! Hope you enjoy the lunch today. It's the least I can do for all the enjoyment you have given me through the years. I've been an avid fan of the Pats since 73 and have suffered through the years with all the crazy stuff and the losing, and am so enjoying these days lately. I live here in Maryland, drove up to Boston area 2 weeks ago and visited the hall. What an enjoyable experience.
Presented by Raytheon.
From the movie of the history of the past to the viewing of the three Lombardis, it was the bomb. I suggest to all the listeners that haven't visited yet that you must take the trip. It is definitely worth it.
Presented by Raytheon.
Well, guys, got to get back to work. Enjoy the lunch. And Andy, hope you enjoy the cookies.
I did. They are tremendous.
Very good.
Ian from Maryland.
Thank you, Ian.
Thank you, Ian. Very, very much.
Who, can we say his job?
He works for NASA.
NASA. Yeah. We have some high-class listeners.
Yep.
You know, Eric pretends to be high-class. These are really people who have accomplished things in their life.
Yes, they're not.
NASA.
Eric's just
anything.
I wanted to
let it go.
I always wanted to be an astronaut until I found out I had like a queasy stomach.
You always wanted to be an astronaut. You ended up being an ass.
Ah, good one, Eric.
Now you know that.
So you must love me.
That school you went to up in New Hampshire.
You got to give him the nod. He comes right back.
The school you went to up in New Hampshire,
St. Paul's.
There's a lot of schools like that in England. Like
they're all like
school,
that, aren't they?
High class.
Eton is the most well-known of them.
Oh.
Back to that ass again.
E-T-O-N, Andy. E-T-O-N.
But do they have, like,
that's
regular
the
schools there? I feel like they're all like that.
They do.
They're all fancy.
Yeah, they have public schools.
The American prep school model is based on
pretty much everything in America is based on something from over there, isn't
it? Yeah, that was the one thing I didn't like, Fred, is how they stole all the things that we have.
Right.
I don't think that's
even
right.
God Save the Queen. That was My Country Tis of Thee.
Yeah, he goes, it's the same tune as My Country Tis of Thee. I go, no, I think My Country Tis of Thee is the same tune as that. I'm guessing that came first.
Yeah, so that wasn't right. They
even
should have come up with some of their own traditions and names their towns.
Right.
Which is okay, because it's a good tune.
I do want one of those taxi cabs, though. I want to get one of those imported.
I love the taxi, because they're very clean, the spacious.
Spacious. They look like a relatively small vehicle, and you're inside. It's like this big dome.
Yeah.
This big,
it's nice.
I want one.
Did you guys take a picture in a red phone booth?
I was on the list, and we never got to do it.
We were going to, but we never got a chance.
We did get my head next to
Big Ben. There was a chain of cafes called Ask, and we were going to take a picture underneath the neon sign that said Ask, and we'd have the three guys from PFW. So we'd have Ask PFW picture. We never got around to do that
either. Typical to us, we didn't follow through.
Yeah, we had a lot of good ideas that we didn't do anything
about.
Our
PR guy, Aaron, was begging us to go to Abbey Road and do a Beatles-type walk across the thing.
We would have had to get you, Fred, though.
Yeah, we need four people.
Right. And Fred, you would be the walrus.
I'd be the walrus. Barefoot?
Yeah.
I'd be the barefoot guy.
Right. Yeah, Andy has the blank stare again. I don't know what you're talking about.
If you play,
I have no idea. It can't be funny because I don't know what you're talking about. I've never heard of it.
If you play one of our episodes backwards, it said Fred is dead. Tom Roberts from the UK says, just wanted to write in and say it was nice to meet you over the weekend. I got the chance to chat to Andy and Eric at the UK Patriots
flag
game.
Funny, Paul. Interesting. He didn't talk to you, man of the people.
Yeah, I know, Andy. You talked to a lot more people than I did while you were sitting in the corner.
And I must say, you both came across exactly as I thought you would, which is like you are on the radio.
Thank you.
But he doesn't say how that is.
Does that mean you wanted to strangle him?
I hope you got the chance to see parts of London you wanted to. Andy had mentioned going on a bus tour of the major sites.
We did that.
Did it.
Did that. We had a great time.
Thought the game was great. Shame it wasn't a little more competitive, as I think the atmosphere died a little in the second half when everyone knew it was over. But with it being my first NFL game, I'm glad it was a win. I look forward to meeting you again when I one day come to Foxborough to watch a game there.
Well, we will be happy to host you. Or we'll see you again when
Fred will be happy to take you on a tour.
When there's a team there full time and we have a regular road trip
over
there.
That would be sweet. Oh, maybe we're the ones that have the home game.
No. I mean when there's a London team.
Or Andy goes and starts a newspaper for that London team.
Hey, see. Bueno, okay.
There you go.
London, not Spanish.
No, you know, it's interesting, though, because you bring up newspaper stock. And, you know, here in Boston,
English, please.
You know, the Globe is struggling, the Herald's struggling. Yet they have a lot of newspapers.
Well,
they had a lot that have gone out of business,
right,
too.
We learned that on our bus tour.
Our tour guide, every other building was, this was formerly the home of this newspaper being published.
Okay.
This was formerly where this was published.
So that was my question. I wonder how they're doing.
God.
Well, they've lost a lot of newspapers over the years.
I looked at Andy at one point, and I go, we really are on suicide watch. I mean, even over here, they've all gone under.
Yeah.
I couldn't care less about the team struggling.
Can somebody email in and tell me why they wanted me to buy Sport? Because I flipped through Sport, and I didn't nothing
no page six
I thought
girls
it was
going to
be
anything?
Porn or something. Like, everybody kept sending comments to the blog, Andy's got to get a Sport Sunday morning, and I looked through one and I never
nothing.
I thought for sure
not
I was
so there. Hot Amy sent in an
well
email
I was just gonna read Amy's
where
email.
Was she while we were over there the whole time? I would have kicked Eric out of the room.
Amy writes in, she says, so the question I think everyone is really wants to know, did Andy get his copy of the Sport newspaper? As James said on the blog to you guys, it really is a paper made for Andy Hart.
I is it juvenile? Is it, was it, what's wrong with it?
It was a newspaper, though, not a magazine.
Yeah, who had it? And I borrowed it. One of the photographers or somebody in our bus.
Yeah.
And I flipped through it, and nothing jumped out at me as to why I was.
Okay, well, she's got a link. She goes, if not, I put a link to the newspaper below so he can look at it when he gets home or to a bathroom.
Oh. All right, make sure somebody saves that for me.
It's called Daily Sport.
Maybe it was a different paper.
.co.uk.
Maybe it was a different.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Different thing.
She also wants to know who had the most embarrassing moment on the trip, not including Andy's, is that a prison goof?
I don't think that was
my most embarrassing. I think the most embarrassing was when Paul asked the bus driver if the guy with the big head got on the bus, and she smiled, laughed, and said yes.
Wow.
She didn't ask, like, who or anything. She knew immediately.
That was funny. I did... it wasn't really that funny because it was only a few of us, but was it Queen Caroline that I thought said Sweet Caroline?
Yes.
Queen Caroline Street.
Sweet Caroline Street. He goes, really?
Then we got to the next one.
And then there was like a bus in the way, and the bus moved out of the way, and it was Queen Caroline. And I just couldn't stop laughing at myself.
Yeah, I do have another thing. I didn't like the lack of street signs. They put them all on the sides of buildings, and when Paul and I were lost for 3 hours, sometimes we had trouble getting our bearings.
I think that's a European thing, though, because it's like that in Italy, too.
Yeah,
they put them on all the buildings.
Hey, that's where we were, Eric.
If you had an iPhone, if you had an iPhone, you would have GPS.
Right.
We were fine. We got along fine.
We wanted to walk around. Anyway.
Yeah, we had a map. It wasn't like we didn't know which direction to go.
We didn't really know where we were.
We walked all over. Yeah, we wanted to try to find Hamley's, and And he said, oh, let's go down this way. We ended up at Trafalgar Square. And he's like, we need Regent Street. And I look at the map. I'm like, we were one block away from it, you idiot.
And we walked four
away
from it.
So we had to walk all the way back. But and then we walked through Piccadilly Circus and all the way down Regent Street, which is kind of like the Fifth Avenue.
Right.
Of
that's
London.
Definitely New York there.
Yeah.
That's like Times Square, all those digital billboards
right,
and
it was a good experience, though.
Oh, it was great.
I think the parts of London that are the ones you want to see is that you can walk the whole thing.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
You know?
Paul and I
we did.
Yeah.
I would just like a little more direction.
Tim in Baltimore says, when you guys were watching rugby, did you notice that the worst rugby players tackle better than the best American football players?
All those guys can tackle.
As far as I'm concerned, rugby is the best sport to learn fundamental tackling. Mm-hmm. Do you think there's any chance a professional rugby player ever makes it into the NFL?
Well, what I'd rather see is Brandon Merriweather play rugby in the offseason, and then maybe he could learn how to tackle and become a great safety.
Touche.
Wow.
But yes, I do think a great rugby player can and probably will as the game goes more global. Eric kind of wrote about that in his commentary. As you make the NFL more worldly and there's money and these players realize they can achieve success. But there was one I remember talking about a few years back the Cowboys tried to sign. And somebody sent me Jomu or Tomu.
Yes,
or,
that's right. I remember that.
But I think – and then he had an injury.
Yeah,
I think he
might have
been
really
juicing. I think he kind of petered out because he
– Dude knows they test, right?
He might have been. Might
I'm
have been
pretty
juicing.
Sure he was. Yeah.
Simon from the UK says, "Hope you all enjoyed your time in London and
loved it,
and that the beer went down well, even if the hot dogs left a lot to be desired." No, the beer did.
The
go
beer
down
went down well,
well.
And often.
In your opinion, and the players, how could the organizers of the international series improve the experience of playing a regular season game in the UK?
Can't.
How can you improve it?
Can't. Other than having it be a competitive game,
right?
Can't. I mean, I don't.
I don't know what they could do to make it more enjoyable.
I don't know what they gave to the fans, but I'm assuming that not every fan there really did know the rules. I think they should have given a booklet, or within the program there should have been, you know, rules
there
to
was.
The game.
Maybe
there
was.
Was.
There was. Yeah.
There
was
a
touchdown.
There was a glossary in the back with all terms and,
again,
you know,
DeShaughnessy was making fun of it.
Yeah.
Freddie, the
Shaughnessy's miserable.
I mean,
I like the guy personally, but he's miserable.
I don't know him personally.
Well, all these writers,
I don't care to.
You know, and you know, I'm there's a, you know, for people overseas that are listening, there's a kind of a tabloid that comes out here called the Sports Business Journal. Hmm. All the sports executives read it, and people in the business of sport read it. And the thing that comes out Monday is, you know, despite criticism of the game, you know, NFL will continue to look to the. The criticism comes from these columnists, these curmudgeon columnists,
right,
who nothing today is as good as it was years ago. They tolerate the way it is today, and nothing should ever change. You know, they don't none of them really ever ran a business. They don't know what it means to compete, you know, except getting to a deadline. It's just
– they don't know what it is to be happy.
Right.
That's the bottom line. They don't get joy. I'm as negative as they come, but how you could not think that experience was anything but cool.
Yeah.
It was just
They admit it's professional
ridiculous.
Sports and a business, but then when it tries to act like a business, they criticize it.
And by all accounts, based on my connections with the BBC, they're not stopping this. They're expanding this. They're going to go to two games
after next. I mean, that's what they're talking about.
And four games by the Olympics.
I've heard people say this, and I think it's true. Goodell likes to throw things out there and see what the reaction is, like a Super Bowl. And
Alistair
Cook. You
know. That's the name they were referencing. Who's that?
Masterpiece
Theater host. Yeah.
Why does he have any tie to – maybe it wasn't Alistair Cook.
Oh, no. There's an Alistair Knowles, I think, who's the head of – NFL UK.
Oh, okay. He was the one who
his
was
first
saying.
His name is Alistair. I'm not sure of his
last name.
Okay,
that's the one they were kind of citing
as
saying there was going to be two coming and then four by 2012.
Yeah, he's in charge of NFL UK. Yeah.
I'm all for it. Make the Patriots one of those teams.
I'm not for it.
I'm not sure that's the way to do it. I think that NFL needs to expand globally. But I'm not sure of how to
do it. The cart
is
before the horse.
I think a lot has to be done. We were talking about this the other day from a grassroots level as well.
Yeah.
You know?
Sure. Somebody mentioned in an email or on the blog or something, threw the idea out about having the Pro Bowl in London, which
that makes a lot of sense, except that game stinks. It's great. It would great to be have the stars there.
Right.
And have the stars meet people.
And that could be a week-long event.
Would UK Patriots fans get excited about just Wes Welker being there?
Well, see that.
Would they go out of their way to travel to London if they were far? I don't know.
Here's one of the things I criticize the NFL about China is, you know, NFL's, you know, thing with China is let's get a game over there. Let's, you know, bring games over there and have them play. it doesn't mean anything unless you know who these people are.
Right.
You know, you look at, from the way I look at it, is they learn who the people are first, and then they start to, oh, I like that guy. I'm going to learn more about his team. Then I'm going to learn more about the sport. You know, like Beckham. There's a lot of people in the U.S. that know Beckham, but they're not sure what even team he played on when he was in with England. You know,
I don't know what team he was on.
I don't either.
Man U.
I think he was in Man U, right. But they know Beckham. Beckham. They know Tom Brady.
They know the name Beckham, though. They don't know Beckham.
Yeah, despite what Shaughnessy said, people knew who Tom Brady was. Not as much as Giselle, but they knew who he was. They knew less.
Yeah, golden balls.
Yeah, they knew less about his sport.
That was the headline.
And they knew less about his team. And you know, but they knew Brady. So the Pro Bowl might be a way to, you know, you ramp it up. You get people stories about these guys, who they are, how much money they make, mm-hmm. the type of glamorous lifestyle they might have. You get those things out there so that when they get there, oh, who is this guy? Now I want to see who he is. You know,
right.
You got to do things like that. You have to be a little tabloid about it. You know, you can't just rely on these are the rules of the game and you will play.
And one of the a guy we had on it, one of the
it's ridiculous.
One of the
I would never play cricket even if I learned the rules.
Last week on Playbook, we had a guy from the Times of London who's a sports writer came on and was previewing the game, and he wrote the day after the game about what the experience was all about and everything. And one of his big gripes was that the NFL had this huge tailgate party before the game, where all 32 teams were represented in some fashion. And they served as their tailgate food traditional English fish and chips. And he was saying there were so many UK fans who were at that tailgate who had been to games here in the U.S.
Right.
And one of the things they loved was that the tailgate atmosphere of a game in America.
Right. Right.
They said, you know, we were invited to eat with people who didn't even know us. It was just such a fun atmosphere. They were serving them the same thing that they eat at home all the time, and they were saying,
stupid.
Make it more of a truly American-type thing.
I agree.
And it might
Wings,
be more of a,
burgers,
that
beer.
Kind of thing. Right.
I agree with that. Yeah.
So that was a complaint that they had.
They want authenticity.
Right.
You know, they want the real jersey. You know, just like here, if I were to buy a Man U jersey, I want the one that Man U wears.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why I was confused during part of the China outreach. Is we were making like Brady jerseys that said Brady in Chinese, and I was like, why would you ever want that?
Right.
I want what he wears. It says Brady 12 on it. It doesn't have
symbols. And a lot of people
symbols.
Said that. You're not alone.
I want what
they
like
want the real
if
thing.
I wanted one from China, then right. I would want it to say whatever Yao or Ming or
right.
whatever it looked like when he wore it in China.
Right. You're absolutely right.
You're right with the authenticity.
Yeah, you're right. Cormac writes in.
We saw Cormac a few different times.
That's right.
Major thank you to you guys for assisting with a great night on Saturday night at the Sports Cafe. Everyone I spoke to had a really great night. It was great to see Troy Brown, Robert Kraft, John Smith, and, of course, the PFW boys. Fred, a million thanks to you. Thank you from my sister for helping her out with a
what
ticket.
What did you do, Fred?
I helped her out with a ticket.
Thank goodness.
At the end. Paul and Eric, glad I could get you guys a drink. Andy, sorry you weren't drinking. Hope you made it up.
He was
for
drinking. He was just hiding in the corner.
You
in the
weren't
VIP
drinking?
Area.
Andy?
I didn't drink heavily like Paul did.
Bathroom problems?
Well, we were eating and we ran out to the toy store and I just...
Fred, I had no idea you'd have to work all night checking tickets and then being the something while the other...
being the something.
Being the compare?
That's what we say, too.
I don't know exactly what it is he does.
Cormac was kind of the Randy Moss in Oakland at the flag football game.
Really?
Somewhere around the third quarter, he walked off the field and was talking to us because it was just a debacle and he gave up, he quit.
One question about the Wembley game. To me, it sounded like 84,000 people were just too quiet compared to the crowds attending NFL games in the States. Would you agree? I haven't seen anyone else saying that the crowd was quiet. But from being there and also then watching the highlights, the crowd did seem very quiet. It's understandable as we all aren't used to the NFL games and don't know how or when to cheer. I think we need some lessons.
You know, it was fun hearing them cheer when they weren't supposed to. It was kind of interesting because, I mean, you come.
I think it was a little quiet.
See, I think it was really loud at times.
I thought it was extremely loud throughout the first half. And then when the Patriots got the touchdown to open the second half and make it 28-7,
calm down
the game
a little
was
bit,
over. But I thought that, you know, it was anticlimactic from that point on. But I thought start the game, it was just like a Super
it
Bowl
was like a Super
kickoff.
Bowl.
Oh, that was, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But then when they did the wave, it got really loud.
You know, a lot of the players are talking about when they did that wave, it was deafening on the field. Now, it wasn't focused. It wasn't,
the
perfect, intelligent American football fan, and it's third down, and we're trying to make it tough on the offense. But there was some excitement. There was some passion and some loudness.
And I agree totally with Andy. There weren't a lot of people there. The vast majority of the people, I thought, that were in the stands didn't care who won.
Right.
Yeah. So you don't have that passion. It's not third and ten. Right. We've got to get up and yell defense with a sign in our hands or anything
like
that.
They were happy to be there.
They just wanted to be part of the experience. But I thought it was loud, especially
was.
In the first half. And we were outside for this game,
maybe
so we got to hear
you guys were
bit.
A few rows ahead of me, and I had the overhang
one.
Above me. And it
one row.
And it didn't seem... No,
5 feet.
But even that, it, to me, it seemed like all the noise was coming to my left. It was the acoustics... Was such that
well, I thought that the partisan fans
right
were to our left.
Yeah.
The Patriots fans were in the corner immediately to our left, and the Bucs fans were in the corner on the other side of the field, I thought.
I think
and
you're right.
The vast majority of the stadium didn't care who won.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Over 50% of the crowd, I would say, was neutral, just happy to be here and help the ball club, kind of NFL experience guys.
All right.
But like Andy said, I think we saw a different shirt from every team, at least one.
Robin in Alaska says, I was born in Abingdon, England. Moved to the States when I was 7 years old. Now I'm 31.
Me too.
For perspective, I make no pompous claims to my heritage, but I visited the UK several times since becoming an American citizen in 94. I have also invested time to educate myself in regards to both my heritage, British through birth and America via citizenship. Anyway, as far as I know and have always experienced, beer, lager, Guinness, etc., all of it is served at room temperature or what some consider warm. My pops has told me Americans put their beers in the fridge because American beer tastes so bad it can only be tolerated cold, and that the correct way to drink real lager or beer, Guinness, etc., is at room temperature. Well, that's...
Well, I think Guinness is served warm,
it's
right?
It's supposed to be.
Right.
Yeah. Here, you can get it cold.
But isn't it supposed to be warm, right? You'd have to ask for it
more
cold.
More flavor comes out when it's warm. Yeah. An additional FYI, room temperature in the UK in regards to alcohol is around 55 degrees. So correctly kept, British ale is warm compared to American ice-cold beer. However, beer in the UK shouldn't be served warm like in what you consider tea or even like straight off-the-shelf temperature. Okay, well, so 55 degrees is what it should
so
be.
So cool but not ice-cold, which would equate to what, 13 degrees or something like that?
Celsius.
Somewhere in there.
I still like my beer cold. I'm sorry.
That's why you got a fat head. What was it?
Brains.
Something spilled brains?
Cold brains.
Cold brains.
Yeah. Adrian in Cleveland.
Yo, Adrian.
Let's see. He wants to talk about football. I want to get to the UK emails first.
We're not here to talk about football.
Mick from Ireland says, what a day we had at Wembley. I got to see the New England Patriots beat the Bucks. And to top it off, on my walk up to the stadium, I got to shake hands with Paul, even though he didn't seem happy to have me annoy him.
It's typical. That's how he is. He claims he's a man of the people, but he's not. He hates you all.
Who is this?
He calls you stupid fans.
Mick from Ireland.
You claim that you're a man of the people and then hide
and
in the VIP area
at
fan-only
not true.
Events.
Not
Eric
true.
And I are out taking pictures with...
Saw the pictures to prove it.
With who?
There's pictures with me in it, too. So go screw yourself.
A lot of people, Paul. There were a lot of people.
A lot
there.
Of people. There's a lot of people.
A lot of people.
And Jason has the pictures to prove it. Andy not in a lot of those pictures, right?
Because
he's
they
over
took
the,
him when I was at
behind,
the toy store.
He's behind the ropes in the VIP area.
I was with you at the toy store.
You
have no idea where I was.
Fred was up on stage.
That's what the caption said.
I was with Bilo's girlfriend.
Yeah. Why don't you come to my
No, really, I was.
Anyway, he says after he shook Paul's hand, he
I
turned around.
I was very happy to see all those people, but I was actually on TV
I turned around, and there was Mr. Kraft. Like, what else could a fan ask for? After I saw the two of them, my day was made. I could talk about the game, but you will do a good job on that, so keep up the good work. So that's Mick from Ireland.
Yeah. There was a lot of guys stopped by the TV area outside of Wembley. It was pretty cool. I said to Fred afterwards, I got recognized more in the UK than I do in Everett.
Let's see. James. Is this James Cuff?
I don't know. You have
James Pettigrew, the other James. As a Londoner who has lived in New England for the last few years, it was great to see your blog comments about the UK, and it almost made me feel homesick. And it's the Sunday Sport, and it's soft porn in various stories along the lines of Hitler porn video, discovered baby born with crab claw for arms, etc.
It's a true tabloid.
In all, a job well done. Oh, and I can explain cricket to you if you're interested. I relate it to baseball when explaining to Americans.
So cricket's like baseball,
right.
Rugby's like football. And soccer, we learned.
Boring.
Soccer's like hockey.
Yeah, a lot of crossover.
Except for the ice.
You know.
And excitement.
Skates. Sticks.
Alejandro from Bogota.
Hawkins on the ball.
Hope everything's okay with you, and that you had a lovely time in London. For us listeners, the costo of the London game was a Tuesday without PFW in progress.
Cost of the London game was a Tuesday.
Unbelievable.
Costo without O. Spanish-o.
Oh, the hello. I'm dead serious. I had to rely on the Sports Hub and the one and only Michael Felger.
Give me a break.
Boy, is he an irritating character.
Yep.
Is he for real, or does he just try to be obnoxious for the sake of it?
No, that's
both.
Him.
Both.
He is for real, and he does try to be obnoxious.
I want to ask you guys something. Why are Americans not fond of overseas traveling? Is it a matter of cost, of those long waiting hours in customs, or is it because Americans like to go on holiday trips driving their own car?
I'm fond of overseas travel.
I would say the people, probably the first two, I think it is expensive, but I think more so I think it's the time. I know that's what I would think anyway.
Yeah, we don't get a month off like all you English people do.
Right?
Don't they get a month
they
of holiday?
Get like, yeah.
Well, 5 weeks in some kind of 5 months.
If
yeah.
you go away for a week, I mean. You're not necessarily looking to spend 10-plus hours on the first and last day to travel. But I don't think it's necessarily the car thing. I think a lot of people fly around the U.S.
Sure.
To various areas.
I think, though, you can't paint with a broad brush.
No.
Right.
There are some people who just don't like it, who it's out of their comfort zone. They just don't like to go. Some, like you said, it's for the money. Mm-hmm. Some the time. Some, like Eric, love it. So, like we Americans do with other people, we try to paint with a broad brush. It's wrong. They shouldn't paint Americans. You know, I don't mind going overseas travel.
Although, I loved it.
Going to another country with another language is a whole different story.
That's a good point.
That's when you now start to have to do your research.
But I think that's because we're so closed-minded. A lot of us
are.
You're bred to fear other countries, fear what's different, fear being uncomfortable.
We're constantly told how much everybody hates us, too.
Because when I was in Kazakhstan, I never
how many penis movies did you watch on the movie?
I watched Bruno, and I was laughing, and Gino Capoletti goes, "What movie are you watching there, Fred?" I couldn't tell him.
Honestly, it's not mine.
I actually ended up watching a movie that ended with like a guy running naked for 5 minutes through the serve and protect.
Andy was so excited about it, he had to show me.
Thanks.
It was like that only. What is this onslaught of penis in movies?
I saw Gran Torino and I liked it.
Well, that's a great movie. That's just
a great
movie. I didn't really love the ending, but I liked
the
movie.
No, it petered out.
See what you did there?
Didn't really
like
it.
Our next email is from London. It says, "While it was wonderful to welcome the American contingent to our fair city, I must take exception to the one photo posted on your blog. I'm a fan of PFW, but was dismayed when I discovered myself in a photo along with some belittling comments. In all seriousness,
nice job, Eric.
Comparing Andy's head to me was completely unfair and frankly uncalled for. Sincerely, Big Ben."
That was a great photo, I must say so myself.
It was like a total eclipse.
That was, foreground, background.
You know, taking pictures on that tour was challenging because, like you said, the bus was going 10,000 miles an hour.
Kilometers.
And it was bumpy roads. Yeah. So every time I'd think I'd have a shot,
And God help you if you happen to lean out a smidge because there was no room on either side for anything.
Plus, it was 12 degrees.
Yeah, it was a little chilly
It was
day,
cold.
It was fun. It
wasn't
it.
That cold, you
it's
know,
worth
just
it.
Outside, but up in that bus. Up at, what, as you,
All up
as
in
you
that
call,
bus?
Up in that piece.
up in that piece, Paul. Yes.
Should I tell my Big Ben joke?
Go ahead.
A thousand times?
Ben Watson was supposed to go see Big Ben as part of an ambassador's tour.
The clock had better hands. Ho!
See how I deliver it differently every time? Some better than others, but...
But you always use that voice.
Oh, yeah, you gotta.
Your mom likes it.
Oh.
Connor from Dublin, do you think that having teams roam the globe in their preseason training would be better than four regular season games?
No.
Like Man U, Chelsea, and Real Madrid do every summer. The NFL could organize another bowl game in the preseason over in China or something and invite six or eight teams willing to go. This expands the game, and the revenue from jersey sales in China would be huge. What do you think this could be worth?
I think the regular season game is more meaningful, and I think the fans who follow it would appreciate it more if there was a meaningful game in their city as opposed to just some, we're just,
Brady for, two series
seconds,
and then he comes out.
Brian Hoyer
the whole day.
The fans got their money's worth in that game. Brady was in for pretty much the whole game. The team scored a lot of points. It was,
from Bill's perspective, that's a key part of the year for building the team, making decisions.
Yep.
Now all of a sudden if you're losing, you know, 5 days of normalcy or 6 days of normalcy in the middle of August.
Right.
Now, I know maybe you could expand it for the teams or whatever. I just, to me, you're right, there's not as much value. And on this end, it's more costly.
Right.
Yeah, I think, because they basically did all their work at home and then went to play a game elsewhere.
Right.
From Bill's perspective, I think this would be a lot better, this London trip, right, than the China trip would have been.
Oh, God, yes.
China.
You know,
God,
yes. You know,
you
operating.
Think this is a long flight?
Yeah.
No, well, I'm just
no,
saying.
No, I didn't, actually. It felt pretty
it
short.
It felt pretty good, actually.
I thought, that's I thought what it was she a long said. Flight.
Coming home, it was almost 7 hours.
Yeah,
I that wasn't bad.
To me,
that
flew
was
by.
Not same here.
Not me.
Same
I thought,
here.
I thought it was a long flight. I agree. But nothing.
Of course,
like
I had three
China.
Seats to myself on the way back, so I got to really spread out and enjoy it.
I'm glad to get rid of you.
I was too, by the way.
Get rid of you, yeah.
Yes.
On the China flight, they actually have, like, in the morning, they on the TVs, they show, like, stretching exercises, and the stewardesses mm-hmm. will come out, and everyone stands up and, like, stretches.
Wow.
I'd like to stretch with some of the Virgin
Atlantic. Wow, they were phenomenal.
All right.
They really were.
What? I just want to stretch with them.
We must give a congratulations
to
Sir Richard Branson for his hiring practices.
Yes, he's – and I like how he is, like – Is he trying to build, like, an empire of everything?
Yes.
You get a Coke, it's a Virgin Atlantic Cola.
Yes, right,
and
right.
He wants to do soup to nuts, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Take over the world?
Yeah. No, he's quite the guy. Let's see. Rory. In
the racing car?
No, but he's from Manchester. He says,
zoom, 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 zoom.
I can't listen to the show today, unfortunately, so I'm just sending a quick email before I get back to my university work. I'm not sure how much of this you've discussed, but so far... But I have some observations from a UK perspective about the whole Wembley game and potential UK franchise thing. I think the NFL really dropped the ball, not getting a deal done with the BBC to air the game live on Sunday. Everyone in the UK gets BBC One and BBC Two.
I was on
I
BBC
thought it was,
One.
I thought it was live.
But it was broadcast on Sky Sports, which is a subscription service,
oh.
And most people don't have it.
Oh.
The BBC broadcast last year's Saints-Chargers game, but this year it was 1 hour of highlights from midnight to 1 a.m.
Oh, that's what we saw when we got back to the
oh,
hotel.
Yeah.
They did manage to fit this around the soccer highlights, but I doubt... There were as many new sports fans watching the American football on TV
point.
This year.
That's a good point. If the game were live,
yeah.
I think that might have helped spur
sure.
some interest
and live
from people.
To everyone.
To everyone.
Like
right.
I was
right.
on Friday on BBC One. Everyone saw me.
Right.
Why does he have to keep
As for a UK franchise, I think it has more chance of surviving as the UK whatevers rather than the London whatevers because
kinda
some
like
people
the New
up
England
here
Patriots.
In Manchester or Scotland might not feel as connected to the team. Overall, though, I think it wouldn't work, but that's my opinion. All right, I got stuff to do. Keep up the good work. I think I get better coverage from you guys about the Pats than I do about my favorite soccer team, and I'm not even on your continent. That said, I support the Bolton Wanderers.
The Bolton Wanderers. Never heard of them.
Wow.
They must be.
Are they not Premier League?
They must not be in the first level.
Yeah.
There's different levels, you know.
Right, that's why I said they're not in the Premier League.
Right.
And you called it Real Madrid or whatever. Real something.
It's Real.
Real.
Huh?
Huh?
No, Eric says it doesn't matter what they want to call it. I can call it whatever I want.
Well, that is what Eric says. That's true. But talk about bastardizing it.
Let's see. Oh, Craig is mad.
Which
we
Craig?
Told him to call back.
We told him to call back. It was just a gag
oh,
for the radio show.
He wants to talk about football, so.
We'll call tomorrow.
We'll wait.
Shut up.
All right, 127. We need to pay some bills. We'll be right back.
Hey, don't go yet, sir.
But the light turned green.
Well, you don't go till I say so. You play by my rules. My rules. Ball start, loss of 5 yards, still first down.
What are you talking about?
Unsportsmanlike conduct, 10 yards.
Unsportsmanlike is 15 yards.
Move the chains.
You are a crossing guard.
Personal foul, 15 yards.
And stop blowing that whistle.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Delay of game,
but,
5 yards,
but I,
first down.
But you're not...
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services N.A. Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2009. Bank of America Corporation.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
50 seasons of New England Patriots football. 3 Super Bowl championships. Endless memories.
It's good! It's good!
Live them all at the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Celebrate the greatest players, moments, and teams in Patriots history with sights and sounds that put you right in the action. Step inside the huddle as Tom Brady calls the plays. Go under the hood and review controversial calls just like a replay official. Learn the playbook from head coach Bill Belichick. Take your best shot at a game-winning field goal in the snow and let the confetti rain down while you gaze at the Patriots' 3 Vince Lombardi trophies.
Back-to-back, 3 out of 4.
Yes, it's a dynasty. And don't miss the 30-foot-high displays honoring the team's greatest players or the signature film showing the history of football in New England. The Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Mass. And is open 7 days a week. Call 508-698-4800 for more information or go online to thehallatpatriotplace.com. The Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. An unforgettable, exciting, interactive experience.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in?
It says here American Airlines Flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. It says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? You're jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight-related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
All right. Welcome back to PFW in Progress. God save the Queen. Simon writes
God
in again.
God save Catherine Jenkins.
He says, thanks for answering my first ever email to you. My dad had this hanging on a wall in his office regarding the rules of cricket. I hope it helps. You have 2 sides, 1 out in the field and 1 in. Each man that's in the side that's in goes out. And when he's out, he comes in and the next man goes in until he's out. Then when they are all out, the side that out comes in, and the side that's been in goes out and tries to get those coming in out. Sometimes you get the men still in and not out. Now, when a man goes out to go in, the men who are out try to get him out, and then he is out, he goes in, and the next man in goes out and goes in. There are 2 men called umpires who stay all out all the time, and they decide when the men who are in are out. When both sides have been in and all the men have been out, and both sides have been out twice after all the men have been in, including those who are not out, that is the end of the game. I get it now.
That's clear now.
Yeah. I have another question for you. I was sitting behind the Bucks end zone late in the 3rd quarter, and paper planes started flying into the end zone from the lower tier. Have you seen this sort of behavior from U.S. fans?
Yes.
That seem to have lost interest in a less than competitive game?
Yes, except here it's batteries or snowballs or...
But airplanes.
But I've seen airplanes, and it doesn't have to be when the game is point to where it's lost interest.
Usually the rule in any pro stadium in the U.S. is don't give them anything to throw.
Right.
You know? So, because they will throw it. So, fans here aren't that well behaved at times. So I actually saw one of the owners from the Pat Bowlen get hit with a snowball at Gillette Stadium once. So walking across, it's kind of good.
It's kind of good.
That's Fred Kirsch. Throwing snowballs at opposing owners is, quote, kind of good.
Plus,
Do you think it would be kind of good if Mr. Kraft got hit in Denver?
No.
I don't think so.
No.
So,
that'd be kind of bad.
That'd be kind of bad.
Russell Buck says, I hope you guys had a great time in England. It was safe to walk around the city, and not all our food is bland. We are knowledgeable about the players, the rules, and the
I love it when he gets that.
It's a good thing it was safe to walk, because the amount you and I, we even walked past like an Iraqi protest or something.
I wasn't overly concerned with the safety. The food was an issue, and there were very few things. I mean, you know how I am with food,
right,
Freddie. There was
right.
He's picky here. Never mind.
We ate very well.
The food, I wasn't too high on the food.
Lost a few pounds though on that.
Oh,
from
I absolutely. I didn't eat that much. Period. And we walked 10 miles that day with Andy.
I have followed.
Still not talking to him.
I have followed the Pats since my uncle emigrated 40 years ago to West Newbury, Mass. I remember Jim Plunkett, John Hanna, Mosey Tupou, John Stevens, and today's great players. I understand a post pattern, end around, shotgun, wildcat, etc. I love your show and subscribe to your paper online.
Thank you.
You do not drink Guinness warm. It is available cold or extra cold. Huh. On the subject of travel.
I thought you did drink it warm.
I'd order it extra cold.
You get different views.
I'm not a big Guinness guy anyway.
On the subject of travel.
The one that I got from Cormac was, I think, pretty cool. It wasn't ice cold, but it was fine.
On the subject of travel, it is good to meet new people, see new places, and try new things, food and drink. Thanks for what you do. That's Russell Buck.
Thanks for what
thanks
you
for
do.
Reading.
Subscribing.
Yeah.
Thank you very much,
listening.
Russell.
Sure.
Loving. And how many people did we meet, Fred? I don't know if you got to talk to them, but Eric, Andy, and I saw, I mean, dozens of people were coming up to us at the flag football game, at the party. They listen to the show all the time and never email in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people. It was really cool to know that there's a lot more people that are participating out there.
Well,
know?
I mean, if you are listening on your iPod,
oh yeah,
and you've downloaded, you're not necessarily near,
right.
And guys know. That would say that they, you know, the international subscription that Russell brought up, we got all kinds of compliments on that, and they would download the, you know, print out the PDF, and one guy in Australia, he said he would get on the train and his whole community would
read it cover to cover.
Well, I should mention that, and we don't do this enough.
Nope, we don't.
If you are an international fan, we do have an online-only version of the newspaper. So you're only paying for online. It's cheaper. I think it's $29.95. But you still get the yearbook mailed to you wherever you are in the world when it's printed. And as soon as we are done with the paper, we post it online. So you get the entire paper online.
In a PDF, you can print
it
out.
It looks exactly the same as it does.
Do it at work so you don't kill your printer. Print the 40 pages at work and read it on your way home, whatever.
Yeah, so go to pfwonline.com. pfwonline.com. And, of course, if you're in the States,
1-800-494-PATS.
And if you don't subscribe.
Why? Why not?
Shame
why not?
Shame on you.
Shame on you.
Please do.
We should get an 800 number for the show, and maybe more of those people would call in.
Oh. Well, you're the producer. What are you looking at?
Produce
me
something.
All right, I'll
produce
see if
a 1-800
number.
He goes, all right, I'll see if I can get an 800 number.
That one took an ugly turn quick, huh? That 180 button hooked him there.
I'm doing it.
What else you got from? Clearly, you did. You swear, by the way.
Yeah.
What? What did you just say?
I said I'm fine doing it.
Oh, okay.
I'm effing doing it.
What else you got from Austin Powers? Clearly, you took the time to go through some of those clips. Okay. Nothing.
Okay. not at the moment.
Not mine.
Here we go. We had
nude alert. I'm sorry that bug up your ass had to die.
That was the
how do
bouncer.
You know what this sort of thing ain't my bag, baby. Danger's my middle name.
I love
what
that one.
What do you mean? You just told me. Circus folk, nomads, you know. Only
Carnies.
Two things
okay.
scare me. Carnies. And one is nuclear war.
All right.
Yay, capitalism.
Just read the next email,
all right. Brett doesn't like it. Move on.
groovy.
Alan from Scotland says, I was watching PFW TV on Patriots.com, and during your Trash Talk segment, you were talking about a franchise in London. I am from Scotland, and I can tell you, I will not be supporting this team. I will always continue to support the Patriots. I just can't see myself rooting for another team, especially when this team plays the Patriots. I do think that there will be a team in London and that it will sell out every week. However, I will not be supporting them. I certainly won't be supporting a team from London. As a Scottish person, I can't stand London. The traffic and the pollution are terrible. Don't get me wrong. I love having your equivalent to the Super Bowl every year, even though I can never get tickets to the game. Getting a franchise in London is going to take at least 10 years. First, they will have to bring multiple regular season games to the UK just to see if it would work. Then the NFL can set the wheels in motion in regards to setting up a permanent franchise. I don't know how it is going to work logistically, though, especially for West Coast teams. To fly to a time zone that has an 8-hour time difference from what you are used to is going to be tough. This is why teams will need a bye week after the trip, which raises the question of how to structure the schedule. The last of the bye weeks are usually week 10. Does this mean that the UK-based franchise cannot have a home game in the last 7 weeks of the season because the team that plays them can't have their bye week after the game? Also, you have to consider other cities in Europe, like such as Amsterdam, Barcelona, and Berlin. These countries will all be wondering when their city is getting a game. Is the international series only ever going to be in London?
I think it should expand.
Well, getting in.
Germany is clearly on the next step.
Yeah, that's the one that Mr. Kraft mentioned with
Berlin,
with London.
And Germany is the one that basically held the NFL Europe League up for a couple years before it finally folded.
Right. Yeah.
But, no, I don't think you just say, we're a city in Europe. How come we don't have a team? Well, if you don't have enough fans and you haven't shown the ability to support a team, why would we just expand for the sake of expanding to every city in Europe? It's going to be calculated and smart business.
Ben,
now, do you think it'll definitely be expansion, or is there a chance they'd move a team?
Well, that's the thing. It could be a team already
in the league. A current franchise?
I'm not sure you want to expand.
Well, think about it. Think about it this way, okay? If you're the NFL, all right, you want every one of your teams to be in a place with a lot of money that's going to sell out every week in a high television rating. So, you know,
Jacksonville.
If you could establish that London is going to support the team, wouldn't you rather have a team in London than Jacksonville?
Sure.
Wouldn't you rather have a team in Toronto than Buffalo? I mean, these are major metropolitan cities. It just makes more sense to have a team there. There's not enough metropolitan cities in the United States, so we have to have the Jacksonvilles and the Buffaloes and the Green Bays and, you know. But if there were bigger cities, they'd be there.
Well,
but in
Green Bay, the people
different.
Are the ones who support.
I know, that's got a history.
And Jacksonville's, I mean, Buffalo's been around for a while. Jacksonville is a new age.
You know, but they're talking about, like, they've talked about San Antonio because there's not much left.
Right.
You know, there's one in Houston now, back in Houston. There's one in Dallas. You know, what big cities don't have a team?
Las Vegas,
right?
L.A.?
Well, L.A. is, you know.
Yeah, but they failed enough. I'm sick of them.
Yeah. No, they have the Chargers.
I'd rather see London fail than L.A. fail again.
I'm not advocating L.A. I just think that for a lot of the reasons the emailer mentioned, I just don't think it's...
Well, he seemed a bit biased. He said like 10 times, I will not support a team in London.
Listen, I think they'll have enough support in terms of fans. I just don't think... I think you're going to have a really hard time generating talent to go over there. I don't think most NFL players are going to want to willingly play there. You can... form a roster if you move a team, like Andy said. I agree with Andy. It's probably better to move a team than start an expansion team. But now you're dealing with – look what the Raiders have to do, because the Raiders are such a mess. They have to ridiculously overpay to get free agents to go there, and their team's a mess.
Yeah.
And that's what I think that you would have to do in Europe. You'd have to really, really overpay
talent. You get paid in pounds, and that's worth more than the dollar.
I understand that.
But not really, because you got to spend the pounds there.
I just, you know, it's not impossible. And listen, it certainly looks like it's going to happen. I just don't know. I don't think it's a very good idea.
Again, they could be just floating it out there to see what the response is.
And we keep talking
about... powerful
people
floating it.
We keep talking about, well, it's not that bad. You know, well, you got New England, you got the two New York teams, you know, Buffalo... You know, Baltimore, Washington, yeah, it's not that bad for them.
Right.
Everybody else, it's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it's over a 10-hour flight for pretty much everybody else that's off of the East Coast.
I know.
You would have to, if you were a team that's, you know, west of the Mississippi, you'd probably have to make it an all-week thing. You couldn't really do what we did.
But every team that goes over there would have to have a bye the next week.
Well, and you'd have to play.
And then what about that team?
You'd have to play the Patriots first, you know, come to New England, then go right on to England.
And then get a bye.
I just think you
have multiple. It could be
done. It's going to take a lot of effort and planning.
It could be
done. The schedule won't be so easy, but I think you could do it.
I think you're almost better off if you could somehow, I don't know how you could do it, but if you could somehow generate a European division and have four full teams or even more. And then not have them cross over and play regular season games.
Maybe
play four regular season games against the rest of the NFL, and then, you know, you just match up in playoff time or something. But I just, you know, like Bill talked about it a little bit, and I kind of agree with him, even though he wasn't necessarily looking at the big picture. To have to make multiple trips to Europe during the course of a year, I think would be a big-time burden for some teams, obviously not all. And I think that would be an inherent advantage for the ones that don't have to do it.
Yeah.
That's an interesting idea. If you could get four teams to start all at once, do a division, then maybe have the winner of that have like a play-in game, like an extra wild card from the States.
Yeah,
those two teams play to earn a new playoff bid.
In the short term, though.
But now you're changing the way the game is.
Not only that. You're going to be changing it no matter what if you add Europe.
But not only that, if you have those other four-team division, now that's expansion. Now you're having four extra teams. I don't think there's enough talent
to make
those good teams.
Not if you move four teams.
Well, if you move four teams, now you're only talking about 28 teams in the States.
Which is what it should be.
You know?
Get rid of Jacksonville. Yeah. I don't know, and some others.
What other teams do you want to get rid of?
Oakland, make a move. Once Al Davis dies, move Oakland. So now you got two.
Yeah.
Because you don't need two by the bay there.
Well, who else?
Minnesota, if they don't get a stadium.
You'd rather have
a stadium
team in London than Oakland.
Sure. I'd rather have any team than the Raiders.
Forget about your personal hatred.
Okay. Well, I can't, though.
The first honest thing you've ever said on this show.
First time.
Why are you going to get all... It's unbelievable. He really is amazing.
He's a baby.
Take your ball and go home. Go ahead. Go ahead. Read your next email, you little baby.
Fred, take the headphones.
I'm laughing.
And slam them on the table.
I'm laughing with your blood in my
hand. The Raiders... You know, despite the absolute laughingstock they've turned into over the last 10 years, I mean, the Raiders are a trademark franchise.
What about the Chargers?
That's LA's team. That's LA. That's Southern California.
But I think you get rid of the Chargers before you get rid of the Raiders.
Well, yeah, so get rid of them and then move the Raiders back to LA.
I wouldn't get rid of any of them.
But see,
I don't think there's anything wrong
with
most
California needs a team.
Jacksonville and Buffalo, I think, are the two that are kind of. I don't know if the markets are really big enough to support them. I mean,
okay, so start with two.
But I just don't like the idea.
They play each other a couple times. Put one in Germany, one in London.
Right. About Toronto? You okay with Toronto?
Well, the Bills would be the likely one to move to Toronto.
I know, but are you okay with Toronto? I'm asking Paul.
I think that would be more palatable because that's not an out of the ordinary road trip. I'm looking at the travel for the teams.
Right.
And that's no different than Buffalo for most of the teams that have to make that trip.
Ben from Stockton-on-Tees, United Kingdom. I'm a UK fan and Pats fan, and first of all, I want to say Sunday was a memorable experience seeing the Patriots live for the first time and also the first time I've seen my team win at Wembley Stadium. I've been three times before to see my soccer team, Middlesbrough, play, and each time they lost. So at least now I have some happy moments from Wembley. Your London franchise discussion on PFW TV was interesting. My view from a UK perspective is I really doubt it would work. Although the Wembley games have been a success, I think a lot of that is down to the novelty factor of seeing NFL in our country. In London, there are four well-supported Premier League teams, which the franchise would have to compete with, Arsenal, Chelsea, Tottenham, and West Ham. And on a weekly basis, I don't think they can compete with those four established teams, and that is just one sport. When there are over... other sports which are in the general UK citizens' consciousness before NFL, like rugby, cricket, Formula One, etc. Also, Wembley itself has quite a busy schedule of events throughout the year, and I seriously doubt it could accommodate a full schedule of NFL regular season game days. The main problem is that what we call American football is not taught in high schools. I never once played any form of American football at any school, only soccer, cricket, and rugby, and occasionally some basketball. It's the grassroots level where the sports capture their fan base and their future players of the game, and sadly, there are no roots of American football in the UK. The best way to establish major sustained interest in NFL here in the UK would be for the NFL to display the NFL at its best, and that would be to bring its massive showpiece, the Super Bowl, to London first. Mm. And even as a Brit, I'd be against that, and I'm sure all of the states would find it even more outrageous. But something that would capture the imagination of the UK media and public, so I'd see that as a step which should come before a franchise. I like Andy's point on Brady coming to the London Monarchs. I think that would be a necessity because I don't think the British public would sustain an interest in a team which was a poor team. If they were good, I'm sure they'd earn a decent following. So
I think he covered – there's a lot to it.
But he says he'll always be a Patriot no matter what.
Well, that's right. But there's plenty of fans over there who aren't – you know, there were plenty at the game who are not yet aligned with the Patriots or Bucks. They seemed pretty
They're neutral. They're just open to a new game and trying.
I don't know if they're neutral. Maybe they root for some of the other teams. I mean, I don't know.
Well, yeah, they're not set in stone.
I'm sure there's a lot of people over there that maybe have a cousin who lives in Cleveland, so they've kind of followed the Browns,
maybe,
or an aunt who lives in whatever.
Well, my whole argument in my commentary in this week's issue was that that's exactly what the NFL needs to do, is foster the game at a youth level, so that kids who grow up enjoying the sport will want to know more about it and more about the professional teams that are out there, and then that will spark the interest in a whole generation of people who want to have their own league or their own hometown team to root for, to cheer for,
to play
for.
You know what I also found? A lot of these guys, they all play fantasy football.
Right.
And I think – I hate fantasy football, but I think it's a great way to learn the game. And not just the game, the players.
The players,
you
right.
get to learn who these guys mm-hmm. are.
Right.
You know?
But I think it's all has to happen. You know, what comes first – maybe irrelevant. I don't know business-wise which would work better. Probably be better if you had a generation, but do they want to wait, you know, 10, 20 years to build a youth following?
Well, I think
to then add a team?
I think one way they can do it, instead of force-feeding a franchise there right now when the consensus among people who live there seems to be they're not quite ready for that, is gradually build up the number of games that are played overseas in London or other cities. Right now there's the annual London game, which is great. But maybe they expand that to two games,
or maybe
four games, two of them in London, two in Berlin, or add one in France or Rome or whatever. Just continue to sort of gradually increase the foothold that it has in Europe by adding the novelty games here and there.
Why don't they put a bowl game there? College bowl game. There's 800,000 bowl games. Why not have a London bowl?
That's not a bad idea.
If you want to pull it at all levels, and they can start to maybe learn a star before he's in the NFL. Because I do agree.
Have you checked out?
That's it? Yeah.
Okay.
Kind of.
All right.
Have you?
Yeah.
Are you still on the UK time?
We've lost the fat man and we're running lean.
I'm watching the Miami New Orleans game.
Iggy from Madrid, we were at the London game this weekend.
Hola.
Great game, a lot of fun.
Dios mio.
We could not find tickets for the party at the sports cafe, but I bet this time Fred did send a photographer in case Mr. Kraft decided to go. Iggy, all you had to do was come to the cafe.
And use Fred's name, and they would have just berated you at the door.
They would have ignored you like they did Andy.
I don't know why you didn't come.
They would have told you to move 20 feet to the left and threatened to punch you.
One quick question. What do you prefer for next Sunday, a Jet win or a Miami win? Stats say the Jets are the best team, but my eyes say Miami is better.
I would prefer a Miami win.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
If Miami had beaten New Orleans, they had the 24-3 lead. If they had won that game, I would have said I would prefer a Jets win. Because I don't think the Jets are a threat, especially with the injuries they've gotten. But they're only a game behind. So no matter how much I want to dismiss them, they're a game behind, and they have a game coming up against the Patriots. They could, you know, they're still the more dangerous team right now.
Plus they already won.
Yeah.
If they won
right.
again.
That's what I'm saying. They have the game. They have the game that they've won
right.
already.
Right.
And let's just say, for argument's sake, the Patriots lose in Indy. There's a possibility that you're going into that game. If the Jets win, the worst that the Jets are going into that game is one game back.
Yep.
And then they beat you, and all of a sudden they're tied with you
with the tiebreaker.
Right, which means they're basically ahead of you.
So I don't like that.
Killian from Ireland says, I'm a first-time emailer. It was my third game and was by far the loudest. I saw the Rams at Gillette last season and the Colts the week after in Indy. I thought Wembley was awesome, but not as good as the States. I don't think a U.K. franchise would work because anyone who follows the NFL in the U.K. already has a team and wouldn't give them up following their teams for a U.K. team. I would no way give up the Patriots for any other team, no matter what. And I think, and he's kind of cut off there. I don't know what happened. I think
he checked out like Paul did.
Others would do the same, I think.
But not everybody has a team.
Killian's only 16.
There's plenty of people that don't have a team.
Right.
And you would get the thing where when the Patriots come, all the Patriots fans would go see their team against the London Monarchs.
Oh.
I keep calling it the Monarchs.
Well, that was a great team.
No,
man.
I know. But
and they had a cool logo with the little crown that they had on there. How do you know what the logo was?
Frazier writes
don't
in.
Do you
remember
that logo?
No.
Stan Gelbaugh at quarterback?
Oh, God.
Sure, it wasn't Stan Harbaugh?
So I was wrong. Frazier says that Stella Artois are called wife beaters because it's so strong. If you drink too many, you go home and beat your wife.
in a tank top T-shirt.
Right. Well, why do you necessarily have to beat your wife?
Stick with the Bud Light Paul.
Drunk or not. Couldn't you just go home, maybe have a little rough foreplay? And...
Good night on Saturday. Thanks for taking the time to drop by and visit us. Brits, quick point. A franchise won't work here for two reasons as I see it. One, there are too many fans who already have an NFL team. I've been a Pats fan since the mid-'80s. I'm not going to change now. And two, although there were 80,000 folk there, we've traveled from all over Europe. My trip from Scotland cost me approximately $450, and that's for one game. I'm not sure there's enough folk in London who can support
that's what it costs to go to a Patriots
game. Eight
games
in a season. Oh, and Shaughnessy's article, total nonsense.
It was. But all our guys are biased. No offense, but I think you represent like one half of one half of 0.5% of the population.
And not only that, and even though I'm against the whole thing, I think that if they had a team, I think you might a lot of these people would change their minds.
Right.
I think they would develop an affection for that team.
Or Belichick coached it.
And what if they had a team? You know, he came
less
from,
than zero.
The latest one came from Scotland. You said. I mean, what if they had a team in Scotland? I mean, I don't know if that's big enough to support.
Call
a
them the yard.
It's Claymores.
I was going to call them the yard.
Remember them? They were
Scotland
in the
yard.
Yeah. What was their logo?
It was like a sword.
Unbelievable.
S-words for 500.
That's sword.
What's the Buffalo Bills logo? Do you know that? Why don't you learn this league first?
Wow.
I don't know.
Wow.
Is it a dollar bill?
I bet you wished I kept checking out.
Suck it, Quebec.
Check it out.
Suck it. TG and NJ says, beware you men of the people. Dan Shaughnessy could be your future. It would be interesting to go back in time and check out Shaughnessy's demeanor when he was your age.
I bet he was always a douche.
Now, I remember your comments about the press corps at Media Day in Arizona for Super Bowl 42. Watch out, guys. You could be on a trajectory to become that which you hate.
No chance.
Good
no
to
chance.
See you're not How complaining about the London trip, so there is hope. Stay young and stupid. Well, at least you got the stupid part down.
Paul's
except you, Squidward,
dirt.
Right? Fred, can we get Andy's BBC interview up on the web? I just want to see if it would get more hits than Scalavino.com.
Who is this angry moron? Angry. Oh, yeah, totally gay in New Jersey. That's
just
right.
Angry.
Wow.
TG.
Now, that's not right. He's
no
not
chance.
Gay. You're not allowed to make jokes.
He never said he wasn't, so I don't know that to be certain, Andy.
Some of those guys at the Super Bowl, and we see the same ones every year, they are just, they hate life in general, and there's no way.
Their first column is how bad it is here.
Right. Every single city that the Super Bowl is, unless it's in New Orleans, it is like this city is so unfit for a Super Bowl. It's the same thing. Right. Shaughnessy will write it.
Yeah,
Shaughnessy will write it. No, guaranteed.
That's after the one that compares like the two cities that are in the Super Bowl. You know, the Patriots have Edge Boston Patriots. Cream. You know, yeah, right.
Yeah, I'll never
mail
get
it in 101.
Speaking of mailing
that
it,
that I've done. I did that about 8 years ago.
Speaking of mailing it in, John Rooks here.
Yeah! Yeah, nice. I like it.
John, how you doing?
Excellent, excellent. So how was over there?
It was great.
Yeah?
It
tremendous.
Was really good.
Yeah.
It made you want more.
Love London.
It sure did.
Love London. Yeah. I absolutely love
it. We went away.
Big fan.
Yeah,
big
we
fan.
Went away.
Josh Freeman starting next game for the Bucks.
Big surprise there.
Oh, there's a shot.
I would have made the same call after having seen three quarters of that Johnson
that
character.
Was pretty bad. That was
he sucks.
That was pretty
I
bad.
Turned to Paul and said, can you imagine if he and Jamarcus Russell played
what
in the
did
incompletions?
They, what did they think they were looking at in Josh Johnson as an NFL quarterback?
I don't think they
really?
Were. I think this coaching staff was just trying to get a little more time for Freeman.
Yeah, they've said that Freeman just doesn't have a grasp of the playbook and the NFL level yet. Mentally.
Johnson doesn't have a grasp of the ability to throw a football where he wants it to go.
But I can understand the coach is not – I mean, if he's not ready to play from a mental standpoint,
right.
You don't want to throw him out
if
there.
If you really want him to be your quarterback in 2 weeks.
I mean, they drafted him in the first round. He's clearly the quarterback of the future. I just didn't think he was all that good at Kansas State, to be honest with you.
No, I mean, he was okay at Kansas State, but what they liked about him at Kansas State and what his attribute was at Kansas State was he's big, physical, strong quarterback and, you know, seemed to be relatively durable and, you know, had some, you know, arm strength. That was about it. I mean,
he's tall.
Strong arm.
Athletic, moves around.
Bottom line is that they're in trouble. They could be knocking on Ofer.
We looked at that last week. I think that they are a sincere candidate to push the Lions again.
Bill doesn't.
Did
you hear Bill yesterday?
They are trying.
He's
some
lying.
Good young talent late in the year. He thinks they get a chance to
lying.
Put some things together.
Not a shot.
Well, they are, but unlike the Titans, I think
what
the Titans have a better
miss?
Shot
what
at
young
doing
players?
That.
I don't know.
I say the Titans have a better shot at that because they have given up. Tampa Bay didn't look like they'd given up to me.
They haven't given up, but they won't be able to. I don't think the Lions gave up. The Lions
played
hard.
I didn't say they did. I'm saying the
Titans. No, but I'm saying they don't have the players to win a game. The Titans can slip into a win because they have talent.
And at some point, one of the veterans might say, can we please get one win so we're not winless?
I agree with that.
I totally agree with
the
fact that they've quit. I don't think the Titans will win more than two or three games because they quit.
That's true, but you're right.
But they will stumble into wins because they're going to be better than the other team a couple of times.
I agree with
Tampa's never going to be better than the other team. They might beat somebody, but they're never going to have a better team than the other team.
They're not better than any team that's left on their schedule. They're just not.
They should have beat Carolina the week before. That would have been their best chance, probably. Mm-hmm.
That's exactly right.
So all right.
Pretty bad.
Well, John Rook is next, but, Doc, we did get an email from James McCormick, some pictures of Eric in between a couple cocks. So
that's correct. I was in those pictures.
Paul was in that picture too. By
I was
the way.
In that picture.
It was Roosters.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes. So
that's what they were.
Who's getting angry?
You need that to forward that to James Cuff for the other site.
We'll do.
Yeah. And
a lot of cocks in that picture.
You know, I was listening to 98.5 today.
That was another one that Andy wasn't in because he was in the back corner of the VIP area,
right
behind
right.
the velvet
those
ropes.
Were the pictures
I'm not
that
fond
I have
of cocks.
One more email from Warren in
I
London.
Think we can say
Warren,
he said it
excellent.
First.
It
you
was
like
great,
roosters, Andy.
It was great.
No.
It was great meeting you all. I hope you had a great weekend over this side
Pecker.
Of the pond, Fred. You have a great set of guys, even Eric.
Pecker just met her.
It was,
can we listen to Warren's email?
It was so nice to talk to them at the flag football game, and they were the same as they were on the show. It must be time to give them a pay raise.
Yes,
absolutely.
Yep. Well past that time.
Yeah.
Yes, Andy, you do have a big head. I thought mine was big until you put my hat on.
And it didn't fit.
Also, poor old Bilo. No one wanted to talk to him at the flag game. Eric, enjoy the fun those guys have with you. Wasn't that party great? Us UK Pats fans only put a great show on for our overseas friends. Who are you going to arrange for our trip later this year? How are you going to top that? Fred, what a host you are. Anyway, anyone who could not be there, you missed the best party ever. Hope you all think the trip was worth it. And again, great to meet you all. And I'll get you lunch in a few weeks when I have recovered from this weekend.
Wow.
I hugged Warren's wife.
That's big.
Yep.
That's big.
She was offering to buy us lunch. I gave her a big
nice.
Hug.
So that's Warren.
God bless
her. What was the best thing? What was the best thing of your experience in London?
I think being in Wembley.
Wembley was pretty cool.
Yeah. Wembley was very cool. Good call, Freddie.
And I just think London.
You know,
just
party,
when I was there, I got a chance to go by Wembley, but I never got a chance to go
it's
in.
Beautiful.
Awesome. Yeah.
It's beautiful. Awesome. Top 10 NFL stadium. Yeah. Top five.
Yeah,
top
Fred,
five NFL
we
stadium.
We
decided Gillette is now trailing international stadiums.
How are the media facilities?
It's the 33rd best NFL stadium.
Good. Very
excellent.
Good. It was the outdoor press box, but you had everything you needed.
Yeah.
You had, you know, a full functional desk with the electricity and the internet, little monitor right there
so you could
watch the game.
That
which
was
an
huge.
Individual monitor?
Like
that
one.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Very cool. We might have bitched a little had it rained.
If we had gotten drenched, we might have bitched
a
little. I think we would have been okay. Well, it would have had to have been coming down pretty hard
sideways
at an angle to get you because we were well undercover.
Yeah. But it has happened because our guy Nick Schepanek, remember on last week, the guy from
London Times
said
yeah.
He got rained on in the press
really?
Box.
No
but,
kidding.
But no, we were fine. I think just Andy said it right. Being in
London
just
did
the
you
feel
guys
of experiencing
yeah.
it was
Did you guys
was,
get to
was,
travel
was
the
was
underground
great.
Much?
We
did
not take the underground.
You didn't take the tube?
No.
We had
but not the train.
We had drivers? Yes. What do we need the tube for? We had drivers taking us everywhere.
I think the taxis are really cool. Those little black taxi cabs.
No, the tube was a blast.
We did do a double-decker bus ride, though.
Did you? Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
We did a bus
we did that
Sunday
morning.
I had a rickshaw.
Who had the full English breakfast? Anybody?
Eric
all
did
had,
not. He wussed out.
Well, they didn't have the blood pudding.
Yes, they did. At the hotel.
They did?
A little thing. It said, yeah, they had it.
It said
up on the
black pudding.
I thought it's black. It's not really pudding. It's like
it's not
black
like
little
pudding?
Sausage chunk things.
It's not a sausage.
I know what it is. But when I think pudding, I think a bowl of like a semi-liquid. It was like chunky.
Yeah.
It's blood, Fred.
It looks
blood,
like,
fat, and something
it
else.
Looks
what?
Like, it looks like a sausage patty is
yeah,
what it looks
disgusting.
Like. And it's, you know, that's what I thought it was.
The rest of the breakfast we
you
had
ate
was
it?
Delicious.
The rest of the, I tried it.
Was it good?
No.
And he was begging
and you didn't
me to
know
try
I actually
it,
got tricked into it because my father-in-law is British. So he, you know, when I went over for the first time, and he said, you got to have the full English breakfast. And I was, like, totally into it. The eggs, the, you know, the bacon.
That's fine.
The,
that's
the beans,
fine.
The everything yep. that was there. It was all there. It was great. The tomatoes, the mushroom, all of it. And then he said, you're going to try the pudding. And I said, well, what? Really? Pudding? And he said, yeah, it's called black pudding. And that's one of the other names they give it to try to trick the limey,
yeah,
you know,
right.
into eating the stuff.
The limey.
So,
but you legitimately didn't like it. before you knew what it,
just,
was.
It didn't. No, I tried it because I thought it was a sausage patty.
But that's what I mean. You weren't swayed when by what it
try
was.
It, when I did try it, it really, to me, didn't have much taste. It was kind of, what is that? You know? Well,
fat, blood, and what else is one other thing?
Yeah, yeah. Gristle, I don't know. Something. Oh, something
unappetizing.
Hideous. But,
you're making me nauseous.
Know. Well, think about what you eat in a hot dog.
I don't.
We don't.
I don't.
Okay, well.
Oh,
I play dumb.
Listen to
you. I play dumb.
I don't.
There you go.
You never
eat
a hot dog.
I eat a
lot. No, we don't think about what's in a hot dog.
I just
swallow.
Just like Brits don't think about what's in black pudding. You know, that's just the way it is.
But I think they think about it. They know what it is. They aren't like...
Well, they're not squeamish like we are.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, like, you know...
We're pussies. They're
like,
not.
Yeah, that's... Well, I can't say...
Mark Tape again.
You can't
say that.
No, by the way, you can't say that. On 98.5 today, they were saying it over and over.
And that's FCC regulated.
Absolutely.
That's,
I wouldn't say that on the radio.
They were calling this guy a pussy all morning.
No, I don't think that's right.
All morning.
And that's why those two guys will be out of a job in about 3 months.
That's on FCC radio.
No, they'll be out of a job because they suck.
Yep.
No kidding. I mean, I'm still getting used to saying suck on the radio. I can't get, you know, that just...
What? Yeah, you pretend you don't say worse than that. What'd you call strippers?
I don't know. Jason will tell us.
Sucky.
Oh, Jason will tell us.
Stripper send you that?
He's an a-
Yeah, so you're above suck.
Well, I was... Just strippers brought me down to a low moment. What can I tell you? You know, and he's still laughing about it.
So am I.
All right, Paul's checked out. We need to as well.
Who had bangers and mash? Anybody?
No one.
Come on!
All right, stay tuned for John Rook, Patriots Playbook. He'll actually talk football. All right.